Blog Talk Radio.
What up? What up, people? Hello. It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. I know how y'all doing tonight. Can you feel me? Can you hear me? Yo, that's what I'm talking about. All right, people. We're going to get this thing going here. Is the chat rooms open? Well, I hope so. I want to fuck Robin Meade so fucking bad. Man, that white woman is fine. She on TV with Clark Howard. And I'm like, damn. I see why she was missed, whatever the fuck she was. Damn it, man. Sitting on TV with all that titty. It's unnecessary to tempt me. Got a good show for you guys tonight here. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the show. Hope you guys are looking forward to the show, too. If you're not looking forward to the show, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Why does it always do this? I want to fuck Robin Meade so fucking bad. Everybody knows this. Everybody knows this. I want to fuck Robin Meade so fucking bad. What's up, people? I want to fuck Robin Meade so fucking bad. Have any of y'all seen who this Robin Meade chick? Have you ever seen it? Seen this chick on HLN? If you have not seen this bitch, she is fine and a son of a bitch. Yeah. Fine white woman. Fine, pure white woman. How y'all doing out there tonight? Y'all feeling good? Can you hear me okay? Maybe they can't hear me. I don't know if they can hear me on any of the video chats. We'd have to just assume that they can.
We'd have to assume that they can. We'd have to believe that they can. Because they're not responding.
Well, they're responding on the audio one. I see them. Hey, you guys are a good crowd over there. What's happening? All this money a nigga made can't change me. Something else he be saying, it's the same. All of my niggas still got that work, still got that work, still got it. Hello. I think we should be quite ready.
Get it on, get it on.
So wait a minute, you can't hear or see me? They said they can't hear or see me. It's strange because the thing is saying I can be heard. I wanna. Can you guys hear me now? Can you hear me? Faza, can you hear me? I said something earlier, and I wanted some answers to this shit. I was singing a song earlier, because I heard it on the TV. It said, I want to fuck Robin Meade so fucking bad, or something like that. Anyway, have y'all seen that white bitch? Damn, that white bitch is fine. Robin Meade on HLN. Damn, that's a fine-ass white woman. Damn. I was finna not do the show and go beat my meat. She was on TV with Clark Howard. That son of a bitch. Who is this beautiful white princess? Where have y'all been hiding this white bitch? Oh, my goodness. They said she won some kind of, I went and Googled this bitch. She won Miss America or something. Damn, Miss, she missed some shit. Damn, that's a fine-ass white bitch. Good night. She had a nigga choked up. Damn. Yeah, I'm telling you, if I ever meet Robin Meade, I'm trying to fuck Robin Meade. I don't care who may, I'm upset with you. I don't give a fuck. That's a fine-ass white woman. Pure white woman. Y'all niggas need to go to hairhattedhooligans.com. Go to hairhattedhooligans.com. Y'all think I'm bullshitting? Y'all think I'm bullshitting? It's on a website called hairhattedhooligans.com. It's going to be like YouPorn, except with hair hats. Go to that right now. You think I'm lying? Go to hairhattedhooligans.com and see what show up. We're going to play y'all a song, and we're going to get into the show tonight because I got a lot to say and a short time to say it. It's got a lot on the plate, people. Even though this is Thanksgiving, we got a lot on the plate. So y'all know I gotta hit my I gotta hit a light to get me hyped up. Let's get it. they ready, I'm ready. I said if they ready, I'm ready. I just need to hear a little bit of that. That's nice and everything. And I got to hear my Project Pat to get me hyped up, and then we'll be ready.
All this money and nigga, babe, ain't changed me. No, I'm always gonna be the same. Some of my niggas still got this work, still got this work, still got it, still got this work, still got this work, still got it. Smoking on that Cali strong every time I roll. Hustle for the chatter and chatter. Keep it straight, pull it to the left. North Memphis, Tennessee, that's what I go for. When they blow your brain wrong, they for the chatter. Pressure, make a broke man get that burner. Slap it in the mouth like Ivy Tina Turner. And take all your bread, middle finger to the bed. My nigga gets the bread, but he gon' hustle till he dead. Same spot, same mix, same pot, same brick. In my hood, them same junkies looking for that same fix. Tornado swag, ludicrous up the roof, blowing Kelly strong, mind blown up the loop.
All this money and nigga made ain't changed me. No, I'm always gonna be the same. Some of my niggas
still got that work, still got that work, still got it, still got that work, still got that work, still got it.
Smoking on that Kelly strong every time I roll up, repping it everywhere I go. Some of my niggas
still got that work.
Yo, for all the people that know me, they know I still got that work, too. Motherfucking yard work and shit. Nigga got a lot of yard work. Damn it, man. It's fall and leaves be everywhere. The nigga still got that work. Still got that work. Still got it. Gotta be outside raking every time it blow up. Still got that yard work. Still got it. Still got that yard work. Still got it. Still got that yard work, people. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your World Tuesday edition of the show. Welcome.
No.
It's a crime edition. Tuesday, people. I ain't too much mercy. This is a fucking crime edition of the show. And you know who I am. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor, and this is your world. Yeah. Thank you guys for joining me here on this fucking Friday edition of the show. Put the hands up if you hate too much. Put the hands up if you hate too much. Oh, I would tell y'all this is a fucked up Thanksgiving for me because after not eating meat for a while, eating the meat made me sick. Maybe that's what happened to boxing for me and Hugo Street. Who knows? But damn, eating that meat. I mean, I was so looking forward to it. Oh, I'm going to get to eat this meat because I haven't eaten this meat. Man, I got to stop saying eat this meat. How else can I explain it? I wanted to eat what I was used to eating, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't as good as I thought it would be, and it made me sick. Now, I don't know if any of you have tried. I did it once before. It's once before where I didn't eat any beef. I just ate chicken. Went back to beef. Out for a week, that beef didn't taste good, but I snuck it out, nigga. I snuck it out. Next thing I know, I was back in the New York mood. But it was a fun time, a sad time. I had a lot of mixed feelings. Thanksgiving, so I guess Christmas probably worse. I don't know, I've been just thinking about a lot of shit lately. I don't know what it is. But I hope you guys enjoyed your Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good time, spent time with family, friends. You know Thanksgiving. Niggas you can't stand hitting you up with happiness. You know what's happening. Then he don't text back. You know that nigga that sent you happy Thanksgiving and you don't that shit. Women want to be above men. Can you blame them? Yes, I can. Because I got to ask women, what do you get out of it when you are above a man? How does that make you feel? How does that make your home work? How does that make your house life work when you are above a man? Is it working for you in your relationship when you are above a man? If so, then continue to do it. If not, then why don't you consider the change? There's nothing wrong with looking at something and realizing, oh, hell, this is probably not the best way to go. Put out a lot of good videos. What I want you guys to go look at one. The two major ones that I want you guys to look at. One of them is the one I talked about, I'll Pray For You. And the other video is the one about my Thanksgiving Day regret. Black man Thanksgiving Day regret. I think everyone needs to watch those two. People, go send that to people. Let somebody see it, watch it. There's a lot of big reps of people on my fan page. I just want to throw that out there. Y'all like, fellas, if you like nice looking women with big reps, go to my fan page. They are fucked up. They speak a lot. They talk a lot. They have photos with the breasts. And if they speak on my page, that means they're not crazy unless they're cussing me out on my page. So I'm trying to get you guys hooked up. Do it. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And the casket drops. Yeah. I want you guys to understand that I like breasts, and you should, too. Everybody with big breasts should be a fan of mine. If you got friends with big breasts, tell them to come join the show. Tell them to send me some photos into my inbox. They are all welcome. Not an ass man, because every time I see ass, it always look wrong, as you guys saw in the video yesterday. Like, it was something sexy and nasty about that woman at the same time. It's almost like eating a nice steak and then being taken through the process of cooking that steak. You feel real bad what's happening to that cow, how they fucking him up. But that don't change the fact that, well, the steak do taste pretty good. Well, that's how that woman looked. I kept thinking, I would fuck this woman. I'm not going to lie. Like a lot of other brothers tell you, they wouldn't fuck that woman. Here's the one thing I want you guys to do. Whenever somebody says they think Halle Berry ugly or anybody else ugly, tell them, cool. Now, what does your girlfriend look like? And if they say they don't have a girlfriend, ask them for a picture of what their last girlfriend looked like. See, that usually shuts conversation down. Every time a nigga tell me what he don't do, I always ask him, what does he do? Y'all should do the same to me. If I tell y'all some shit I don't do, ask me what I do do. And I'm not talking about when I'm on the latrine. Ask me, what do I do? Say, man, I'd never date a woman look like that. Okay, then what does the woman you look like date? What the woman you date look like? That damn dyslexia is a motherfucker in mid-speech. How did that happen? I don't know if anybody caught that. I fucked that sentence up. Damn. Y'all ever done that shit? Have dyslexia in mid-speech? Where you said some shit and you said it backwards? You was like, the fuck did I just say? And you know you said it backwards. You like, son of a bitch. And they caught it too. Bastard. So you just laugh it off. Like having a booger in your nose and somebody pointed out, see, motherfucker, I'm mad that you found this booger, but I'm glad you pointed out so I don't have to keep walking around the rest of the day, this motherfucking booger in my nose. Another thing I want to tell you guys to do, we have a new sponsor, so I want you guys to go out there and go to Southwest.com, SouthwestAirline.com. They have great airfares, and your first two bags is free. Now, I don't know who told Southwest about me or if they found out about me on their own, but when I left Houston, I was complaining about my flight. Got in contact with me from Southwest, a representative, and they said they would like to be my, basically, I guess, like, the people who fly me around. So I ain't mad. So now that they want to fly me around, I want to tell you guys to fly around. And right now they have great holiday deals. Go to Southwest.com. Get in line for some of their web fares. The lowest in the industry, guaranteed. Southwest.com. That's amazing that they're even lower than AirTran, because here in Atlanta, we like an AirTran town. We believe that it's AirTran or bust. Well, you can go to southwest.com. Just get in and go. That's it. You go to Southwest, you can just go. Get the fuck up. Go. Too many people ain't never left their city. Go to southwest.com. Get the hell out of town. The fuck out of town. Stay in there. I still say United got me. United got me at all. United got me bad. Woo! Damn it, man. Get on Southwest. Get the fuck away. Get out of town. Get out of Dodge. And if you're in a Chevy, get out of that too. Y'all, we got a good show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about black women's hair. Can't go wrong with that. It's going to be a bunch of arguments, so I'm looking forward to it. But seriously, here's what I want to do, and so you guys can get prepared and understand when you call in. The number's 347-989-8310. Here's what you guys are going to be looking for in this show. Here's what we're going to – and we're going to start off with the roundtable, so I can't wait to talk to you guys. So everybody who wants to get in the beginning of the show roundtable, call in now. The number's 347-989-8310. Make sure you press 1. The roundtable, we're going to be talking about the things that are going on in the news. We're going to be talking about Halle Berry. We're going to be talking about the young girl that stabbed and killed her two-year-old sister. We're also going to be talking about Lenny Kravitz being Marvin Gaye. So everyone, we're going to get on there. We're going to get all you guys' opinion. But later on the show, when we do talk about the hair, what I want to know from you guys is women and men. Women, I want to know if you wear weave, why. Men, I want to know, and I want you to tell women the real reason why you feel the way you feel about weave. If you really like weave, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not here to judge. Today I want to moderate because I really want to know about this thing, this hair weave addiction. And it is addiction once it's gotten into the billions of dollars per year. Because understand, that's how much money is being made off of black women and their want and need for hair. It's a billion-dollar industry. Billion with a B. For the bitches. Somebody told me yesterday that they had a problem with me using the word bitch so much. My response was, bitch, I don't care. Have a problem with me using the word bitch? If I wasn't who I was, you wouldn't give a fuck what I said. Y'all ever notice that people only got something to say to you when it's something they want you to change for them? I ain't going to do it. It's time for to get into the is it just me? So when, and every time I hear the music, I know to do it. So you just play the music. I'm one of those people who can just run into the segment. You don't need to tell me it's coming. Just do it. I'll be ready. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Is It Just Me, sponsored by Coke Zero. Looks like Coke, tastes like Coke. So much so that you can't tell the difference. But see, your body will be able to tell the difference because it has zero, count them, zero calories. Coke Zero. Go to CokeZero.com or YourWorldMyViews.com and win options to win free Coke Zero for the rest of 2012. You ready? Is it just me? Or does it seem like? I don't know if any of you have ever been, you know, in a position where you get paid once a month. But when you get paid once a month, does it seem like when you get that damn check, it really seems like you the richest nigga on the planet? I'm talking about when they give you that check, it seemed like so much damn money that you want to buy every bar in the city you live. You don't want to do nothing but spend money on clubs, go into the club and throw money at bitches. Man, they should never have a job where they pay you once a month. Well, at the end of all my work, I get a big ass check at the end of every month. I do. I get a big check, I ain't gonna lie. All my sponsors send the check. I get a check every month from all these white folks. And I see these checks, and I put them motherfuckers in the account. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm finna go out and buy a bitch. I mean literally purchase a bitch. I wanted to purchase, what's that white bitch I was talking about before the show? Robin Mead. I wanted to purchase this bitch. Well, ain't it funny that after a couple of weeks, when you done paid all your damn bills and balled out for one weekend, you done ate steak and shrimp and lobster and ate it spawn divot. Next thing you know, your bitch ass is broke and you eating ramen noodles for 3 weeks and you are praying that that motherfucking month come back around again. I am a nigga that has no ability to manage his finances. None. I see that big ass check. Next thing I know, I break up with a bitch. I don't want to be with you no more. I got too much money. A week and a half later, I'll be like, I made a mistake. Nigga done bought his way out of a relationship and begged his way back in it. That's what happens. You got all that money. You don't need that money at once. I wish they'd send it to me in pieces. Next thing you know, you getting a payday loan because you done bought a bitch. I'm telling y'all, one day I'm going to physically purchase a woman. Is it just me, though? Does anybody else get paid once a month and that shit just screws with you? I'm going to have to ask these white folks to start sending me money in pieces. What do they call that shit when you give somebody something? You siphon? No? Stipend? I said siphon. See that? You stipend. That's what I mean. A stipend. Not a siphon. A nigga trying to get a motherfucking... I'm trying to get the gas out your car and shit. Nigga trying to siphon instead of stipend. I need a stipend. That's what I need. I need to ration this shit out. Somebody said increments. I need all them words. Am I the only motherfucker that does that? 15th and 30th, that is good. If I could get that done, there are a lot of people saying that, but maybe it's just me. It could possibly be. If you think about it, I look at it and I sit back and think about it. I think I'm the only nigga that's just horrible with my... No, because all these black women are filing bankruptcies. So it ain't just me. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what this is. This is It Just Me, sponsored by Coke Zero. Go to your local convenience store, your local grocery store, and go get some Coke Zero. Taste it, and if you don't like it, we will buy you whatever the fuck it is you want. That's the new Coke Zero motto. If you don't like Coke Zero, we'll buy you whatever the fuck it is you want it. That's a money-back guarantee plus some. No, that's just a money-back guarantee. But that's not the point. It's a good guarantee because they'll buy your shit back. Well, if you don't want this, fine. We'll give you what you want. But does anybody else do that serious? I don't know if anybody's ever had a job to get paid once a month. And then on my fan page, I put that shit up, and some bitch had a nerve to say, you on, she's talking about, I wish I got free money once a month. It must be nice. I got offended like a motherfucker. What you mean free money, nigga? Free money I got. I guarantee y'all I'm the hardest working nigga around. The nigga talking about free money. You ain't. First off, you've never owned a business yourself. If you think that the money you get at the end of the month is free money, nigga, you work to get that money. The only time you see money if you're a business owner is at the end of the damn month. That's the only time you see your money is at the end of the month. When you're working with corporations, they're not going to pay you once a week. It ain't a corporation I work with that pay me once a week. And let me tell you what, and this is shit that pisses me off, but I guess you got to work with white people the way they say. I work with a few sponsors who don't pay me except once every 3 months. Damn! Woo! It's a good thing I ain't dependent on their money. Goodness! I remember when I signed that contract with a couple of them and looked at it, I said, well, I'll get the money at the end of the month. I sent them a message. You know, I didn't get no money at the end of the month. I know we worked out a deal. Y'all said y'all. They was like, no, it's every 3 months. Every 3 months? Nigga, I might not be on the air in 2 months. I would have never signed that deal. Y'all motherfuckers can get out of paying me. Next thing I know, I'm not airing the next 2 months, and y'all laughing. We got a free month out of that nigga. Wait a minute. damn. But a nigga said, yeah, it must be nice to get free money once a month. Then what did he say? Something smart. Those of us who work for a living don't have that problem. That's the look I had on my damn face when he said it. I was looking at my damn thing. Why did you say this, sir? What did I do to deserve this? Why would you say that? Those of us that work. You should never do that, say that about nobody, man. The fuck do I look like? Like I just sit up and put on statuses all day. I just sit around, put up statuses all day, make YouTube videos, do this show, fly around the country on Social Security benefits. What the fuck have I done that would allow me to get Social Security benefits? I'm not injured. They have not classified ugly as a disability, but Lord, I hope they do. Because as soon as they do, I'm going down there and pick up the check. Excuse me, sir. The day of, it's going to be like Black Friday. It's going to be like Ugly Friday. On that Friday, they're going to open it up for all the ugly people to get disability. I'm going to be down that bitch right down, like I'm waiting on the iPhone, straight up be in there. I'm telling you, there he is. Won't get my disability. Now, before I get into all this, guys, before we get into a lot of this, I got to bring in my man, C. Shandon Carter. He's going to be on the program with me here in Atlanta on the 30th, and he's coming on the show to not only tell you guys about that, but he's going to answer some of these damn questions I got. I'm going to put him on the hot seat. So, Mr. Carter, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
nothing much. What you laughing at?
Man, your show is awesome. You're going in, doctor.
Thank you, brother. Now let me ask you, you like myself as a businessman, you know how that shit is when they pay us late.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that when you finally get a check from them and you start bawling out like you Will Smith and this is Millennium?
No, man, I want to my money, man. You know, in my industry, man, it takes money to make money. So I cut back on everything, man. I hold back till it's my turn. One day it's gonna be my turn, you know.
Oh, so you're not a careless Negro like myself.
Oh no, not at all, sir. if I get $1,000, man, I'll feed myself 200, put 800 up, so I can try to invest into another event. You know, I've been doing it for like 17 years.
All right, well, before we get into it, tell the people who you are, what it is that you do, so they can have an idea of who I'm on the line speaking to.
Okay, hello, America. I'm none other than C. Chandon Carter. Y'all can follow me at Twitter right now at C. Chandon Carter, or go visit me on my webpage, which is C-H-A-N-D-O-N Carter .com, cchandoncarter.com. All I am, I'm just a professional event planner. I throw a lot of events across the city of Atlanta as well as across the United States of America. And it's an honor to live here in Black Hollywood because I'm doing a whole lot of stuff with music, film, and just doing a lot of entertainment and doing a lot of plays myself right now. And it's just an honor to have friends because, you know, my pastor always says, you show me your friends, I'll see your future. So I'm definitely, it's an honor to be connected to this man that got this radio show right here.
Well, thank you very much. Now, before we get into me and you talking a lot of crap with each other, tell them a little bit about the event on the 30th here in Atlanta.
Yes, I want all you all to come out. This is called Love Confidential. This is going to be 100. We're going to keep everything 100. You have those questions, bring those questions in. Ask about relationships. I'm going to have a great panel of doctors, specialists, counselors, advocates. Each and every month, and we're kicking it off right here next Friday at 7 o'clock, and I know you're going to have your live radio show there. We're going to have it wide open. where people can call in and ask questions. We're going to have a dancing. We have matchmaking. We're going to send people out on dates, all paid expense by our corporate sponsors. Then you get to come back next month, ladies and gentlemen, and talk about your experience going on a date with somebody you just met. As well as, I have a radio show also here in Atlanta, which is on Love 860, which is WAEC 860 on the AM dial, or you can log on to love860.com, and the name of my show is called Chandon's Corner. I'll be talking to you all that go on a date on every Friday. We're going to send four people out, so we're going to have four different people talk on our show every Friday, and we're just going to try to set up Atlanta. Man to woman, woman to man, going to set you all up for 2013 to make sure that you can go forward and be in a great and healthy relationship with all these advocates, doctors, and counselors that we're going to have on the panel. And it's definitely an honor to have none other than the radio host right now, TJ, on the very first Love Confidential 101 next Friday at Scoreboards Bar and Grill, 1371 Claremont Road. Make sure you get your $10 tickets in advance. And who knows, it may just be $10 at the door. Just make sure you come on out, have fun, and wear your black. Dress up in black because we're going to be there from 7 until 11 at Scoreboards.
That's right. Hey, I want to ask you something because it sounds like you emphasized when you said woman to man to woman.
Definitely. That's exactly how I want to send it out. And I said it because we want to get the family together. It's all about making a family. Get the family together. Healthy relationships. And I'm a straight male myself. And I just was put on this earth with my specialty to help out God's children, the ones that's working towards a family. That's just
I'm
my
send
mission.
Out, you know what? I'm going to send out some tweets and put hashtag no homo.
Well, that's you said it, I didn't, but it all means the same. Adam and Eve.
I'm telling you, maybe you can help me out. What made you want to reach out to me? What is it about me? Because it's funny, I remember when T.D. Jakes reached out to me, I kept saying, are you sure you got the right person?
Well, man, I've been following you, man, a lot on Twitter, man, and I've seen some of your videos, man, and actually, you're not actually like this show totally. I had a lot of friends that talk about you, man, and anybody who can get 121,000 plus people to follow them on Twitter have to know something. So I did my investigation on all the people that's on my panel, man, and God has told me to connect with you, man, because even though we have a lifestyle, we have a radio show, we have a TV show, everybody has a heart, and out of the abundance of your heart, man, you spoke. And you was a real genuine person, man. So that's why I'm glad to be on your team and call you a friend of mine.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Well, let me ask you a few things right now since we're on here. We want to put you on the hot seat. There's a lot of things going on out there in the community and especially out there in the news. And I want to ask you about some of them. Now, the biggest story that I have today is there's a story about a young girl, 13 years old. A young girl, and it happened here in our city. She stabbed her two-year-old sister, seven times and killed her, 13 years old. And she killed her due to the fact that the two-year-old apparently was telling people that she was in the house with a boy having sex. So she wanted to silence the little girl, and she killed her. Now, you coming from a religious background, I always talk about family, and I talk about family a lot and the degradation there of family in the black community. What are your thoughts of situations like this and how it seems like the black community has almost spiraled into this? You can't identify what it's become now because it's far, far removed from what our parents' parents saw. How do you talk to the young people today when you got stuff like this going on?
I just think that the parents, whether they're there, the step-parents or the parents, the original parent, they should just talk to the children, take some time out of their schedule. They really never realize what these children are going through today. And I didn't get the story, man. You actually filling me in on why she probably did it, but who going to leave a 13-year-old there? I heard yesterday on Thanksgiving dinner, she had a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-year-old, and she's only 13. That's very stressful to leave a 13-year-old and all of them still pooping in Pampers, and or either have to go potty train. That is too much work on a 13-year-old.
Thank you.
So I really fault the parent. And you know what? Even though she did the killing, I would still investigate the parent because you need to go deeper. It's not just what she did that day. It goes a lot deeper. And I'm quite sure once they start peeling back the 13-year-old mind, she's going to release a lot of stuff. And a lot of innocent people that saying, ooh, and I and Ben out there at the jail says, come on, we with you, baby. Yeah, literally, they're going to be with her, probably in the pen.
Ooh.
So I'm looking forward to actually find out, why did she do that? Because it just wasn't about, yeah, she got boys over. It's a whole lot more, and it's going to come out in the investigation. That's what DeKalb County, Fulton County, and Clayton County do here in Atlanta, Georgia. They're going to find out.
I like that, and you are so right, because the first thing I said in my video about that was, why do we have so many little black girls that end up having to raise their siblings? Because you and I know growing up the way we did, there was always some little girl, and I always felt bad for black girls because black girls seemed like they had to work harder than black boys. Most of us black boys, when we didn't have a father, we didn't even have a chore. I can promise you, I grew up without a chore in the house. There was not, I wasn't supposed to cut grass because we didn't have any grass. We grew up in the projects. So I didn't have to cut grass. I didn't have to empty trash. There were no really chores that I had. But all the little black girls that lived in the hood with me, they all had chores. I know some black girl, a black girl when I was young, when I was little. She used to make dinner for her mom and her mom's boyfriend. Well, come to find out when we got old, her mom's boyfriend used to be messing with her.
Right.
And we see this a lot in our communities. And it's this dysfunction of where most black girls, by the time they're 13 to 17, they run away from home because they've been treated like they were grown from the time they were 10, 11.
Right. That is all right. Well, you know what? A lot of stuff that we're doing these days, man, I just had the honor to be blessed with a little girl myself. She's, you know, I'm a new father, so I don't know how to say how old she is. I'm just going to go ahead and say with my calculation, she's 4 months, 2 weeks. I guess that's the way you ladies out there would tell the age of your newborn. And I know I was with mom. The mother and I, we are not together, but we are very professional together as parents. And one of the things that she was telling me that she wanted me to do is to actually be in a daughter's life and talk to her all the time, which I am because this is my first, my pride and my joy. And, you know, one thing I did with my daughter, man, which I never thought was a problem, is I was with my daughter yesterday, I mean, 2 days ago. And, you know, she's only 4 months and 2 weeks. But, you know, the actual fact of me holding my child, you know how a man can hold a child looking away from the father into the audience. The audience could be her cousins and her mom. But the position of where she was, the mother of my child even told me, I'm telling all the men not to hold my child that way. And I thought about it. Me being the father of the child, and I'm holding my daughter between my legs, that makes so much sense because I don't want my daughter to have the capabilities of thinking that's all right. So I really value what the mother was telling me yesterday, that she tell all the cousins, the uncles, and even the father not to hold our daughter that way so she won't think that's a comfortable way as she grow up. So it all starts as infants to instill in them in their mind what's right and what's wrong. And I just feel for the 13-year-old that has to be charged for an adult because as we was growing up, we didn't have all that. It takes a village to raise anybody this day just like it did when we was younger. And that village just needs to show up in 2013, man. So, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of this. It's going to come up.
Right.
Come on your show. Come on my show. So I'm just looking forward to next week and what's coming up in the future.
No, you're
show.
Right. And the funny part about it is you're right. It does take a village, but most of us are being raised by the village idiot. That's why we end up. That's why we end up where we are. But I got to ask you something. Since you're on this hot seat, I got to ask you something.
Man, give it to me, man. You know, I don't get to ask a lot of questions. You know, I'm a 100. I I deal with the saints, but I'm not so heavily minded. I'm no earthly good, man. Give it to me, man. I cuss
that's,
too.
That's what I got to ask you now. You bring up religion a lot, and the people know I talk about religion. I come from both my parents are pastors. So I come from a religious family. That's why, I mean, I don't have, and it's funny, I don't have nothing but a bunch of religious people that'll have me on. When I was doing the circuit with T.D. Jakes, I still don't know what he's seeing me. And every time he'll come up with something else, he'll call me and ask me to come give a speech. So I think it's the coolest thing in the world. But I got to ask you something.
All right.
You love the Lord and you're a religious person. How'd you end up with a four-month-old?
Man, I'm going to tell you how I ended up in a four-month-old, man. I failed to flex.
Be graphic,
you know?
Too. I want all the details of height. No.
Well, you know what? I ain't going to give you all that because I'm going to tell you. I don't go around preaching celibacy. I don't do that. I speak in a lot of churches, the singles ministry. I created an event called Phyllis in the City back in 2010 here in Metro Atlanta where Christian singles were to come out and meet other Christian singles so we would not lose ourselves at the world expense. It started off very heavily, but you know what? There was a lot. There was not a lot of men coming to this event. So they started branching out, and they still losing themselves at the world expense without coming to Phyllis in the City. That's where the formation of 2012 November comes with Love Confidential. But the reason why I have a child and I'm not married is because, in fact, I fell short of the cross. And it was there. My pastor said, if you ever want to do any kind of business meeting with a woman, you always meet her at the Waffle House and not your house. So I actually went to the house and we started courting. You know, we courted. And so it just happened, man. I think it was one of those things that you didn't have nothing to do. It was cold outside. And it was just funneling turned to making love turn to a child. And at that time, I was very scared as a first-time father, and I didn't know what to do, and I said all the wrong things. But when the baby was born, I started saying the right things because right now I knew it was a reality. So we say things because we don't know, and we do things because we are afraid, and I did that because I wanted it.
Let me ask you this, though. If you're saying that Christians should date Christians and you're trying to get Christians to get together so they can date in a lot of these conferences, let me ask you, How does it help them if they're dating and they're still doing things of the world? Because that's one of the things I ask my mom, and she always get mad when I say it. But when Stacey Lattisaw was on here, she had a good question. She was like, the truth is the truth. It's what we got. We have to be able to talk to the people who are out there who are going through the same things we're going through. And you saying, you know, it was difficult for you. So if you're putting them together, they're still going to end up doing the same things that they would be doing with people in the world because – the church is full of a lot of pregnant people right now. Seriously. I went to my
right, wife, it is.
And the woman who's leading the choir was pregnant. And I literally walked out. I walked out. I said, if I wanted to be, in my mind, I thought, if I wanted to be around hypocrites, I'd have stayed in my own house. I wouldn't have went to this place where I'm told what the people are supposed to be better than me, and they're doing the same thing.
All right, before I say that, I want to give yourself and myself a station, a radio station called Break With My Name. This is C. Chandon Carter. Make sure you follow me on Twitter. At C. Chandon Carter. All right, now I'll go into the...
Show, look at him. Do it.
You know, I do it on radio, man. You call my radio show, I'm going to ask you to reintroduce yourself for those callers that's coming back in for the first time. But once again, this is C. Chandon Carter. Y'all can follow me on Twitter, C. Chandon Carter, or go visit my website right now while I'm on the phone on this call. You can look at my website, cchandoncarter.com. Now, to answer your question about that, yes, we as Christians, we love sex. We love it. We know that the pastor says, you know, the pastor doesn't even preach about that no more. Wait to the Lord. You know, some stuff sounds good. If the pastor was so willing to say, wait on the Lord, and he'll give you a good man and all that stuff and don't have sex, that would turn a lot of offerings away. People would not come to church. The pastors would not have these mega churches. They would not have these Cadillacs and Escalades. And just like they talk about don't have sex, they don't even talk about men on men and women on women in the church because they're afraid to lose that offering. The people that come into church these days, they see that, okay, well, if Chandler can go to church and he got a baby, I'm going to go ahead and go to church and still have sex. So even though I'm a public figure and people are looking at that, It's bringing people to church, but we're not teaching it in church. I created Sinless in the City, but I wasn't saying it was sinless in the city because I was just sinning less in the city. You know, it felt the same identical way. I sinned less and not was sinless. So if the pastors and the preachers start preaching that in their sermon, more people will start believing and start following the rules and the regulations of what to do like that.
I like that.
That's what I
like that a lot.
And another thing, a lot of these church women, I want y'all to listen. All y'all church women that are going to be listening, again, my name is C. Channing Carter. I talk to a lot of y'all ladies when I'm in relationships, forums, and talking. And a lot of y'all ladies are turning back to this thing that they call celibacy and talking about, well, I'm celibate, I'm giving myself back to the Lord. That is not true. I think it's not true. I think that you all have been burnt by a lot of bad men. And you know who you are.
You didn't even have to stay by a lot of bad men. You could have just stopped right there.
You all have been burnt by men that you all thought was men of the cloth. And one thing I want to let you know, if a man goes around quoting scriptures and talking about, oh, I love the Lord and all that stuff, and you think that's the best thing that happened, you need to do a further investigation, because even the devil knows scripture. And he just telling you exactly what you want to hear. And you can see a lot of men these days, they will tell you, they'll read scripture to you and say, ooh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and go backwards and forth in these scriptures. But all of a sudden, as soon as that light go out, they're going to blow behind your ear and say, first thing they say is, let me give you a massage. That's when you need to put their ass, I mean, excuse me, I'm about to cut. You need to put them out the house.
You need. Wait, let me tell you something. This is what always confuses me. When people say that they don't need to cuss, back in the days, do you understand that Jesus was considered a heretic by the language he used to the serious?
Yeah.
It ain't about. I understand there's some words that are foul, but the Bible never tells us about that. These certain words. A curse word in the Bible was a word where you were damning someone somewhere. When you would say "go to hell," you were cursing them then.
Right.
When you use we give words more power than they have in some instances, and we take the power out of other words. And I think that's one of the things that Jesus tried to teach, especially when he talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, look, there are places in which y'all are taking power out of words that mean more, like how you said these pastors. And for the people who don't know, we're on the line with my man C. Chandon Carter. He up down here in ATL, he's a man that puts together the conference that we're having this Friday. And it said, what's Bar and Grill again?
It said Scoreboard Bar and Grill. It's actually an event hall that's below the grill. You know, you're actually going to go into a spot where it's going to be bar and grill, but they have a very big event facility at the bottom of the grill. It holds about 400 people, man, and we're going to have DJs. They're going to be dressed in black, and we're going to keep it 100, just like this conversation. On this show, we're gonna amplify it. It's gonna be ready. We're gonna get all the women and men ready for 2013. So you won't have to be going through that BS.
Right.
That's our ultimate goal. That's our ultimate goal at Love Confidential on our monthly meetings.
But if you don't understand, and again, since I'm a Bible baby, I know my way around the Bible, took seminary and all that. Jesus spoke in parables, and the reason he spoke in parables was because he knew the people would understand how he was speaking, because sometimes if he didn't speak like them, they'd get it. Sometimes if you speak over somebody's head, they don't get it.
You're right.
So sometimes we need to say, damn. What they say?
Damn,
who the hell left the gate open? I heard them say it in church.
Right, you're right.
Sometimes you got to say it that way. Now, of course, we know some words are over the top, but some words, there's some words, if I slam my finger in the door, oh, shit is the only thing I'll do.
All right.
But you're right when you look at it, how we, the people of the church, have refused to today teach the people that they're supposed to teach. They're not leading the sheep to safety. They're leading the lamb to slaughters. They are basically saying, as long as I can get the money out of your pocket, I'll believe whatever you believe. There's a church here in Atlanta where the pastor is a convicted child molester.
My God.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
First off, the Spirit should have hit him enough to where he feels like I should probably be in the congregation and preaching to the congregation at this point. So you'd have to ask yourself, if the word isn't even hitting him enough to where we now can't even let our kids come inside this church, because the law won't allow the kids in here, but we're so blinded, we're going to still let him lead. And I keep telling people, do you understand that Moses didn't see the promised land because he did something very small?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do nothing big, and God said, hey, I love all the work you did. You did a great job. But just like them other people we left in the wilderness for 40 years that wouldn't listen, I'm going to have to leave you in the wilderness too.
Right.
Why do people not preach that? Why am I a sinner preaching something that you've never heard in the Bible? I mean, in churches. You don't hear people telling them, hey, Moses didn't even get to see the promised land because of something small he did.
I tell you, man, we just need to, they're going to learn the date, which begins Friday, November the 30th.
Yep.
You all are going to learn. We're going to keep it 100. This is not going to be, if you're going to be offended, if you're not offended by this show, you definitely be offended by the show next week. If you are offended, then next week's show is not for you. We have 5.8 million people that listen to our radio show across Metro Atlanta. We only need 400 real people to come in and voice their opinion. So let's see, can we make this thing happen?
No, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it's my on the line with my man, C. Shannon Carter. Shannon, make sure that you let them know exactly how they can get in contact with you again. Let them know about the event again. And I'm about to bring in the roundtable. So go ahead and sign them off.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's definitely an honor to be on this show. First of all, I'd like to say my name is Ian, for you all just joining in on this wonderful show. My name is C. Shannon Carter. C stands for see me, call me, whatever you want it to be, but it's C. Shannon Carter. And you can follow me, please, at C. Shannon Carter on Twitter. I have three Facebook pages, which is C. Shannon Carter page 1, C. Shannon Carter page 2, C. Shannon Carter page 3, with over 17,000 friends. So I hope that you can actually get in on my page 3 before it gets filled up. And I want you all to come out and support me. I'm very tangible. I'm very touchable. I love people. I'm called the people's man and the fan of the people here in Metro Atlanta. And it's just an honor to have friends. Like I said earlier in my conversation, that if you show me your friends, I would definitely see your future. And I always say that the bottom is too crowded, and I need to see each and every one of you all at the top. So today is a brand new day for me to get connected with you all through this radio show. I hope to see you all at Love Confidential, which is next Friday, which is November the 30th, at Scoreboards Bar and Grill. That's 1371 Claremont Road in the Deck, which is Decatur. I want you all to show up and show out. Wear your black. Get very pretty, ladies. Get very handsome, guys. We're going to set this thing up the way God intended for it to be, man on woman. Woman or man, we're going to increase the family. We're going to give you knowledge. We're going to give you understanding. We have several authors, panelists, doctors, specialists. We're going to hook you up on a date. You're going to be able to go on this date. You're going to come back. You're going to talk about it. We're going to see the do's and the don'ts. We're going to correct what you've done wrong, and we're going to spread what you've done right. I also have a book coming out called The First 3 Hours, What Do I Say to Them? It only takes 3 hours to know if you were some dead Joe or some dead Jane. So y'all be on the lookout for that book. And please follow me. I beg y'all to follow me because I love to communicate. My radio show comes on every Friday. And TJ going to be on there real soon. He's going to be on my show Friday at 2 o'clock. And I come on love860.com for all of you all around the United States of America who is not in Atlanta. And the Lord has blessed me with the number one radio show in Atlanta at 2 o'clock on Fridays. My numbers are astronomical. So make sure you tune in and see what everybody is saying about C. Shannon Carter and the fastest-growing talk show in America. That's on love860.com or WAEC 860 AM on your dial here in Atlanta. It's definitely been an honor and a blessing to be on this show. I thank you all. And in parting from this conversation, I'm going to say it again. I see you at the top because the bottom is too crowded. Thanks, man, for having me on your show.
Thank you, brother, for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my man, C. Chandon Carter. We're going to be at Love Confidential next week. He recruited me and said he wanted me to come and join and speak to the people, and I want to speak to the people just like I speak to you. Make sure you tune into him while you're here in Atlanta on 860 AM. Let me go. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in the roundtable and talk to you guys and ask you guys some questions about what it was not only you heard, but what it is that's going on in the news. And we're going to refresh you guys' memory about a lot of things that are going on. We're also going to even talk about Black Friday. Why is it that white people was out shopping? It was Black Friday. I was so upset. White people got the same deals as I got. Somebody should have told me that they didn't mean what they said when they called it Black Friday. All them damn white people's at the store. I was confused. Maybe I'm at the wrong show. Maybe I'm at the wrong store. It's Black Friday. Why are you here? And here's what we're going to do. We're going to, can we? Yeah, we'll go ahead and go into it. Let's bring in, Robert first from the 517. What up, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, Tommy? What's cracking, man?
Well, nothing much. Hey, right, wait. Is who?
Robert, man. Yeah, from
Okay, I thought you said something else. I said, wait a minute.
No, sir.
Okay. Hey, Robert, let me ask you something. We were talking just a second ago. What did you think about the conversation we had, especially my thoughts on religion?
I'm with you, man, because like I said before, I grew up in the church. I was raised in church from like 6 until like I went off to college. Because after that, you know, I just got sick of it, man, because like, I saw a lot of things there. Like, there's good people in the church, but at the same time, you saw a lot of hypocrisy. When I was a kid, it was confusing me. It's because I looked at it like, you know, the women, they go to church, they're pregnant, you know, they in church, and it's like they mess with dudes that are not in the church, and doing stuff's not in the church, but they're still going, and they still get considered good Christians. So as a kid growing up, I was like, wait a second. They're doing stuff the Bible says you're not supposed to do, but no one's calling them on it.
And that's what bothers me. Like I said, I'd go to the Serengeti if I wanted to see that many hippos, because it's a bunch of hypocrites.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And the thing is, it's like when I remember the show that you had. You was talking about, like, you was hitting that threesome with the two chicks. I never had a threesome, but my ex-girlfriend, one of them, she's a big-time Christian. And she was telling me, hey, you got to get you up to speed.
Yeah, that's what my girl kept telling me. Like, every time during the week, this bitch would be telling me, oh, you know, you cuss too much, or tell me about what the Lord is saying. I was like, do you not understand? You just had your face buried in another woman's crotch. Why is it that you can be the disseminator of religious, I don't know, what would be the word? Religious
theology? I don't know. Lord,
yeah, it's just like I'm like an attitude. Like, you're the disseminator of. I'm looking for the word now. I hate that. But whatever it is, like attitude, properness, decorum. There you go. Religious decorum.
Yeah, it works.
How are you that person? How do you disseminate religious decorum when you don't disseminate it amongst yourself?
That was kind of what I kind of told her a little bit was that it was like she kept telling me I need a man to go to church this, that, and the other. And I was like, I feel kind of funny. Even while I'm being a hypocrite, I still feel funny about it. Because I think in a church, in a black church in particular, it's an acceptable amount of what they call acceptable hypocrisy. But you know they're screwing up. You know they're sinning. But like you said, once they come to church, one day, hey, the church doesn't care. So it's like, which is why, like you said, the church is full of women because, particularly black women, because it's like, as long as you allow them to feel good about what they're doing, they'll keep coming to church, they'll keep paying, and if they suck dick and they get fucked in the ass, they're like, hey, you know, that's cool. It's tell them, like, hey, it's okay. God still loves you. Head up the collection plate. Don't put money in.
I just find it funny that on the converse, when you're talking to religious people, they don't give you that same leeway as they give themselves.
Oh,
like, have you noticed no religious person looks at what I do and say, well, you know, everybody has sinned, and they leave me the fuck alone. They always tell me what I shouldn't be doing. Yet when I call them on what they're doing, they say, like, somehow, like I gave, I did in my video where I said black women are like the Star Trek Enterprise. They can put their shields up and still fire their faces.
I love that reference, man. I love that reference. Yeah, but I'm with you, man. And another problem, like, that's what happened with one of my other girlfriends. Was like, she always, remember, she had a show about, I always talk about people. My wife would like to say, don't judge me, don't judge me. The first one to judge somebody. That bitch judged the fuck out of me. I ain't gonna hold you up. She's like, well, need to be more rough. Need to be more of a thought black man, because she was kind of hood and all that shit. But I'm like, when I saw her sister, because she had a sister, ran over a dude's at a party, ran over a girl's foot with her car. I'm like, that's stupid. Her mom was something else. She's like, you should judge my mom and my sister. You judge me every day, you bitch. I can't judge her. She actually is fucking wrong.
Thank you. They run around judging. Literally, you go to the church and sit in the congregation. It's a long judge segment. They judging everybody. If you gay, you wrong. If you didn't pay somebody back, you wrong. Everybody's wrong but them, because they're covered by the blood of the SS Enterprise.
Yeah.
Let's bring in some more people to talk with us and see what they think, what they're thinking. Let's bring in Brooklyn.
What's happening?
You gotta be from Brooklyn. What up, Brooklyn?
How you doing, man?
I'm all right, I'm all right. What's on your mind? What you think about what we're talking about so far?
That was a pretty good dialogue, man, I have to say. You know what I mean? It was good.
What has been your relation or your interaction with religious people? What is your views on religion?
Well, like for the other brother, you know, I was born and raised in the church. So I've seen a lot of, you know, somewhat of craziness going down. But there have been a couple of incidents where, you know, people that were in leadership and whatnot that, you know, did, you know, fall off, you know, when it came to religion. So my pastor, you know, he would, you know, take them off like the choir or the praise team or whatever.
The pastor. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he even said it too a couple of weeks ago. He said, when you come up to the, like, to the pulpit or whatever you do, that's for the church. You know, regarding, you know, setting the atmosphere for, you know, for God to come in. Excuse me, that's my phone. But
you know what I'm saying? Because especially when God call you, be like, you might not need to be talking to this brother. Let me call him and tell him to get off. That's God telling you, man. Don't be talking to that dude.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Right. God works in mysterious ways, he do.
Yes, he does, man, for real. But my pastor will be like, yo, you know, you're held to the same accountability that I am.
Yep.
You know, so make sure you, he even told the parents, because, you know, you got parents that want to get their kids involved in everything. So he even told their parents, make sure your kids are living a godly life. They're not living like any old kind of way. You know, they're reading their Bible, praying, get, you know, just seeking God. You know, just really living, you know, unworldly, you know what I mean? So
because
they
represent you. You're exactly right. We have lost that. And I'm glad that, because people always ask, well, why is it a lot of religious people or pastors? Like the fact that Joel Osteen called on one of my show, I'm cool with Rick Warren. People always ask, well, it's weird that those people are cool with you even though you speak the way that you do. I said, because truth recognizes truth. They're not looking at me and saying, oh, he used this word and that word. He is actually saying the truth.
Exactly. I mean, I hear 100%. But what you say, you know, because especially when black women primarily say, you can't judge me, you know, we all come short of God's glory and, you know, God knows my heart. And it is true, you know, we all do come short of God's glory and he does know our heart. But that's like justifying our actions,
you know.
And we need to at least, because I know when I do wrong, man, I feel bad. You know, I'm like,
that's all God asked of us. And that's all we should ask of each other, not of perfection, but that we strive for perfection. And when we fall short, we actually recognize and realize and regret and have remorse towards that falling short. Right. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know, because we get condemned, you know, we get condemned that, dang, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe this is what I did. Wow. You know, we just feel sorry. you know, we beg for forgiveness. I don't see a lot of black women doing that, you know, like, but hey, well, who am I to say that, you know? So that's really what it is.
Let me ask you one question before we bring in another person to join us.
What's up?
If you were pastor of a church and there was somebody in a leadership position, even if it's something as small as like the person, well, especially a person over the, let's say, the choir, she gets pregnant, would you require her to step down?
That would probably be the best thing to do, because if she got pregnant out of wedlock, what kind of spirit is she giving off to the congregation? You know, that's pretty much the best idea. I mean, like I said, I've seen it. I've seen, you know, women that got pregnant out of, you know, that were not married to the baby father or whatever, and she had to step down. I've seen males that, you know, got women pregnant, and of course he had to step down from that because of what he did. And it's really all about you recognizing your faults, you know, your shortcomings, your actions, and working your way back into,
yes,
you know, pleasing God and doing what you have to do as far as living a good godly life. So, yeah.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's like, to me, the church started getting kind of sad to me when I realized that we make politicians step down before we make a pastor step down. And a politician shouldn't be held to the same standard as a pastor, because a pastor is claiming that he has the key to your eternal soul.
I mean, I guess what it is, and thing is, it's like, I don't get how certain, you know, certain things of politics are mixed with religion, although there's some of it that's related to, you know, there is some, you know, similarities to that, but politician and religion in most aspects don't mix, so I don't
right,
see how.
By logic, if you are a politician, you are in a moral dilemma almost every day.
Exactly.
And that is why Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar." What he was saying was, separate yourself from the government. You can't serve both.
Exactly.
That's, and people don't get it. They think it's about money. No, it was about an ideal, and people don't get that Jesus spoke in ideals. You cannot serve those two masters. You can't, because by logic, when you become a politician, you can't tell people what they need to hear. You got to start telling them what they want to hear, or you will not be a successful politician, period.
Exactly. And I mean, I think, and going back to what the brother said, I mean, that's what mostly reason why many churches are filled with women, you know, because they're being, I can't say from church, but I know for many churches are, that's, you know, because bishops or pastors or whatever are telling women what they want to hear, you know?
Yep.
So it's like, that's why you see more men in the church than women. That's
and
why
how
I
about to... this? The numbers of black churches, the number is over 70% of black churches are filled with women. Kind of freaking crap is that? So 70% of y'all are in there lusting after this one man, i.e. the pastor, which is why the pastor can always sleep with a bunch of chicks.
Exactly. Because he is catering to them. That's why he's, you know, feeding them whatever they want to hear. So they just lust after that. They feel like they're infatuated with him, really. Because
my ex-pastor, y'all can look him up, Reverend Ron Saylor. He has a son who was just arrested and given like 10 years for embezzlement. He had another son who killed his daughter-in-law. Because when he got married to the woman, his son was 19, the daughter-in-law was 21. They started dating for a little while. She broke up with him. He couldn't handle it. He killed her. But the biggest topper on that whole story was the woman he married was a woman he was counseling whose husband was in jail. He counseled her for a little while. They went back up to the jail and told him she wants a divorce because she's getting married to me. And I kept thinking, and y'all still letting this man preach? That's when I left the church.
Wow.
How your life go that far? The thing about it is, and we talk about that in counseling, when your life is in turmoil, you should step away from outside stuff until you get your life back together. So if you are a pregnant woman or a man that got somebody in the choir pregnant, you should step away from your duties to take care and rectify what you have done before you come back. It should be immediate to everyone. There should never be a question about that. It should be, let us step away. Yet they don't feel the need to step away because my pastor never stepped away.
I mean, I guess because he feel like, and it's not really a guess, it's just really what it is, that he feels that he's not wrong in the situation. You know, so, yeah, I mean, look at Bishop Eddie Long. He feels like he wasn't wrong for doing what he did, and he's still pastoring the church down in Atlanta.
$15 million you gave these young boys, and nobody questions it. $15 million. I mean, as soon as he leave the pulpit, they should have Dr. Evil come up there and just put his hand up to his mouth.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, man. When I saw that Jewish, I forgot what it was. It was a
oh,
big,
yeah,
you know,
the Jewish man put the damn Torah around him.
Yup, I was like, wow. That's when I was like, and people still there? I was like, dang.
That's when I, first off, if I believed in God like that, I would have run the fuck out of that church. I would have walked. I would have run because of fear of my God's retribution of this abortion that was taking place in front of the world. That was what it was.
Brother,
that was a live abortion.
Brother, my pastor always says, if we catch him doing something that's not really of God,
amen,
he don't expect us to follow him.
Amen.
And, I mean, I respect him for that because I'm like, wow, not a lot of preachers would say that. You know, like, they would be like, oh, well, I mean, if you're really down with me, man, you know, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I tell my radio listeners, almost every show, if you catch me doing some shit that I done said something completely different, call me on it.
Hey.
I look up here telling somebody to do one thing and I'm doing something else. Y'all need to do this. I can't believe y'all ain't doing this. Y'all need to do this. And then I'm not doing it. I refuse to be that person. Let's bring in a couple more brothers to come in and join us. Man, the round table going to be pretty big. Let's bring in Lasher and Antonio at once. Let's go to Lasher first. What up, brother?
What's up, man?
Nothing much. Well, you hear what we're talking about? We on that whole, before we even get to the 13-year-old girl, we're trying to ask about religion right now. If you were... How do you feel? Be honest. You don't have to say because of what we're saying. And if you're in the church and you say you get pregnant or you do anything, do you believe that person should step down or what?
Okay. Say, if you're working in the church, like I work in my church,
mm-hmm.
if you're working in the church and you get pregnant, it's something you do. You know what I mean?
So you think they should step down?
No, I don't think they should step down.
Okay.
I don't want to put no disclaimer out there for anybody else, you know, because everything is a one-on-one basis.
So give me some exceptions of where people shouldn't step down.
Okay, exceptions for when people shouldn't step down, when you messy in the church. When you
so
know
as long
you
as you, like, keep everything straight and you keep the vacuum cleaner near, you...
No, don't come on, Tommy.
I'm messing with you.
No. Fucking with me, bro.
You know, a Dyson ball up in there with him.
No.
That nigga clean as hell. He a killer, but look at his suit and shit.
Nigga, I don't even wear no suit to church. Nigga, I put a polo on, some khakis on.
That's how you should go to church. I went to a white church, all them white boys had on cowboy boots, tight ass nut hugger jeans. And it was all millionaires. I said, son of a bitch. I came up in there looking like Steve Harvey reject with them 99 buttons on my damn jacket. The white boy said something smart to me. There's not a funeral here. Why are you dressing like that?
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Then they had a
Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you what. I'll say this, and then you can go ahead. They had a not-so-formal jacket for me to put on. White folks have an extra jacket.
Oh, yeah, just like at the restaurant.
But go ahead.
All right. I'm going to tell you this. My religious background, I'm a Catholic. But I attend the Catholic Church and Baptist Church.
Okay, you like me. You're Catholicism. That's nice to see. Why is that? You must be a foreigner.
No, I'm from Chicago, living in Dallas.
Oh, that's a foreigner there. Nigga, you from Chicago. That's a whole nother country. That's a third world country.
Now it is. You damn right, right about that.
But okay, so that Catholicism is your background.
Yeah, but I also attend. I attend a Catholic church, and I attend a Baptist church too, which I work at.
Damn, that's got to be a big change, right? Because I knew it was a big change for me.
Not really so much. Is it the biggest change is the music?
Well, what I mean by it is this: as a Catholic, we believe in always saying we screwed up.
Yeah.
Baptists don't.
Well, if you,
I was so shocked when we became Baptists when I saw that they were just. I mean, your sin just was. Oh, happy day. They didn't really care. As a Catholic, somebody will force you to tell people what you did wrong?
Well, it's not a force. I mean, you go to confession if you want to. You go to confession if you want to. But the funny part about that is when I go to my Baptist service, the one I work at, we sing Oh, Happy Day during offering time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's another thing.
I
mean,
like
Catholics, we don't
I never heard that
money.
Before.
And Catholics, we don't have to beg for money. Y'all know what time it is.
Oh, no, dude. Catholic Church, the richest church in the world.
Our priest get up there, he just said, y'all know what time it is, and sit back down.
Exactly.
And then if it's 12 o'clock, don't let Notre Dame be playing. I've seen a pastor in the middle of a sermon because the New York Giants was playing. That joker said, we'll have part two next Sunday. Tell me I'm lying, Lasser. He cut it off mid-sermon.
No,
we'll have
lying.
Part two
you
next
ain't
week.
Lying.
All right, that nigga gave us a tricky dicky and walked out. You know the double P sign?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Had hell to the teeth playing.
I'm
going to
tell you. I'm gonna tell you, my old priest back home, you might have heard of him. His name is Michael Flager.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, my old priest back home. You know what I'm saying? He mainly work in the black parishes and everything, and you know he's down. You know, he'll let you know in a second. Oh, the Bears game about to come on. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, he'll let us know.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you, that's what was fun. It's boring in a Catholic church, but everything runs on time.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. I get in there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I'm out of there by 9:45.
You know it.
And then when I get up to my Baptist church where I work, I worship that too. Because, I mean, Jesus, he ain't had no denomination. You know what I'm saying? But I get off my Baptist church, we get there at 11 o'clock, we start at 11. And I'm like, dang, black folk, you know what I'm saying, why y'all got to start at 11 o'clock? Because y'all was out at the club last
night. Forget
that
start at 11. Why is it that it's 2:30 and pastor's still going?
Man, why is 4:30 and pastor's still going?
Oh,
I knew it was a problem because I was little. And I'm not going to lie, my mama slapped me in the mouth one time in the pew because I said, this is not right. They are still going. I told my mama, you know, and I was like, look, he need to cut this out. He was supposed to say that it's going to be part two next week. It is 1 o'clock. He's still talking. It's 2 o'clock.
And I had to tell Pastor, you're going on too long. Because I work in the audio visual booth, you know what I'm saying? I do all the camera work and all
nigga,
that.
Nigga, you done ran out of tape and shit?
I told him, like, Pastor, I do the little finger thing, like wind it up. You know what I'm saying? Wind it up. You
run had to give
long,
him a little wrap
man.
It up box. Somebody walk out to the pulpit and put it on the little thing, put a wrap it up box on it. But you think about it, like I knew that was a big problem when I saw they had food in the basement. I said, why do they have food in there? Why are they bringing food? They were like, because you're going to eat and then they're going to have another sermon. Oh,
dang. Dang. What?
Oh, yeah. We had it a lot.
Pastors, they would bring food. It would be in the basement. They would feed you at 3 o'clock when he got through preaching the first time. You come, you stay there, mess around with people, go sit right back down. He'd preach again until a little bit after 6.
Man.
Wow.
You should have seen we had the homecoming for the church, because I go to my Baptist church. It's a Texas historical place, you know what I'm saying? It's been there for about 127 years, and we had the anniversary.
What up?
And man, after service, we got done the service like about, I want to say about 11:30. We went outside, had some brisket, had some hot dogs, polishes, all that. And then after that, it was a whole nother service. It's about 6 o'clock at night. I'm thinking to myself, Lord, I love you, but I got to go to work tomorrow, man.
Exactly. And then I ate all that food, brisket, and them sausages. The itis don't steady in. And you trying to tell me I can't go to sleep?
They trying to run the camera. I was feeling good as this.
And see, I'd never be able to run the camera because it'd be Robin Mead out there in the audience, and I'd be got caught staring at them D cups. I don't need the visual evidence of what I'm looking at, so I probably couldn't do that. I could run the audio part, but the video part, I couldn't do that. But you don't believe they should step down. I'm confused about that. Why do you believe that it's people of the cloth that they should still hold their position? I'm not confused because I understand you come from Catholicism, because what happened is we get one of them priests that done molested boys. We don't tell them to step down. We just send them to another parish.
True, and I think that that's a bad thing. And I think that, you know, that's where the Catholicism needs to come into the 21st century. Get rid of them motherfuckers. They not preaching the word of the Lord or nothing like that.
But okay, but so on the same level, you're saying the woman who's teaching Sunday school, if she comes up pregnant and she's not married, she should still be able to teach Sunday school.
I'm gonna tell you, in the churches I'm from, I'm a Catholic first, and then I'm a Baptist second. It ain't no woman preaching nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because for the first part, a woman can't leave me. I'm a man. A woman can't leave me. I mean. God,
but y'all don't even let them teach Sunday school though, for the kids.
No, we might let them have a missionary sermon once a month.
Okay.
But at the same time, no, a woman can't leave me.
So you're saying because the women are typically in the audience that you don't, even if they get pregnant, it has nothing to do with anything because you're not kicking them off of anything.
Bro, I'll put it to you like this: when I go to Catholic mass, it's an equal number of married couples there, and I see it, and I like it, and I love it. And when I go to the Baptist service, it's a bunch of women. Yep. I mean, a bunch of women. The men in the church is like me. We are deacons, or we have some role that we fulfill in the church.
Right.
And I want to say that the only married woman in the church is the first lady.
Dang.
What? It's not hard. It's my mother's church is the same way.
Man, and you know what's so sad? I mean, it's kids in the church. And we got a younger minister that's about 25 that come to preach to them. And they usually walk out on his sermon and go stand out on the front porch while he preaching. So they ain't trying to hear what he's saying. And really? It ain't nothing but a bunch of little black girls. And that's sad to me. Because they really need to hear what he's saying.
Damn. And see, that's one of the things that bothers me, and I'm glad you're in on that. Let me bring in somebody else, see what they got to say, too. We're having a little round table right here. Antonio, what are your thoughts on what you've been hearing?
What's up, Tommy?
Not much. Antonio, you need to stop going to sleep, man, when I be calling you down.
My bad, man. That day my shit time is killing me, man.
Let everybody know my shit boring.
No shit ain't boring at all.
That nigga said, Tommy's show, The Cure for Insomnia. That's going to be my motherfucking motto. I'm going to start having motherfuckers that can't sleep come.
Hey, this is my favorite show, man, ever.
Because I get you sleep, nigga. Don't be fooling nobody.
Now I can't fall asleep on your shit.
So let me ask you, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about what's been saying so far? Because I know we've gotten off on something, but I'm just curious about this whole religious thing. We got a couple of people who said they should step down. We got one who said no, it should be more of a case by case thing. But they're not big on letting them step down. Where are you on it?
No, you see the thing. I mean, I pretty much agree that they should be stepping down. The thing with case by case, like, they don't be having civil cases. Like, they be doing some just outrageous stuff, like raping little kids and, you know what I mean, pedophilia, just all type of stuff. Like, they don't got little normal cases. Like, they supposed to get in
strange. The only time I could see when I would say case by case is if niggas was getting speeding tickets and shit. Okay, he can still
play. Right. Yeah, that's case by case.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to do a little fight. Like, they be getting rape cases. Like,
yeah, but you,
like,
and,
come
and
on,
that's
man.
What I'm you can't cheat on your wife and still cheat. I mean, teach. I'm sorry.
Right.
I mean,
like, you know what I mean?
To me, but, your word rings hollow.
Right. And the thing with me on that is when, you know, like, when you sign an NBA contract, when you sign that contract, that owner of that team expects you to fulfill the needs of that contract, you know what I mean, the things he signs you to do. And that's the same thing with these preachers in the church and stuff, man. When you get that position of power, you got to live up to that. You got to live up to that contract that you signed on people, because you lead them. You know what I mean? Like, you, they leader. You got to lead. You got to, you know what I mean, walk in that path where you showing them good. Like, you can't be doing crazy stuff like that. Like, the preachers, you know, they be doing crazy stuff then with the audience, whatever it's called.
And here's my thing, and this is what's weird, because I've been a Catholic and I've been a Baptist. Hell, my mother was trying to find her way through religion. We did that Pentecostal shit where they were crazy, slapping kids, making them speak in tongues.
Right.
You come up in church, they were slapping shit out of kids before they walk in the door. Bow! I stand under my mama's house and son of a bitch. We were Pentecostal for 2 weeks. My mama said, hell no. I turned the other cheek and got slapped on that one, too. We got to get out of here.
That shit hurts on the church.
The Pentecostal were real. They locked your motherfucking up ass up in the attic until you spoke another language. Nigga came down speaking French.
They,
damn.
They brought that life.
Send your ass up there with a Rosetta Stone.
Oh my God.
They really
God.
Bought that life.
Yeah, they about it, boy. Them motherfuckers are really they serious about that religion, boy. Man, I ooh, them niggas they take God seriously. Niggas, stop taking God so serious.
Hey, that's like the Muslims, man. They take that shit serious.
The mother. Nah, yeah, the Muslims, they mother, they take that shit.
Hey,
ooh,
they don't play about that shit for real.
Motherfuckers say, you say something about they motherfucking homeboy, they gonna blow your ass up. A nigga drew a cartoon of Muhammad and got blown up.
Man, they drew a cartoon of Muhammad, man. The whole damn Middle East was in space. I'm like, damn.
You know what I'm saying? Well, they fuck with Jesus all the time. Steph McFarlane do on Family Guy.
Right. Man,
so
I didn't know
how to say that. That's one thing I could never be. I could never be a Muslim. I'm not strict enough.
Right. Man, I'd be breaking that shit daily.
First day they said jihad, I'm out.
That damn hair yesterday was good as a mug.
But,
That hair was good as hell yesterday, man. I already broke the religion.
But I'm going to ask you, when we're talking about this whole situation, when you see the differences in religion and how black folks run religion, I just want to say this is coming from both Catholic and Baptist background. I believe that it's difficult for a Baptist person, a preacher, or someone in a high position to not have sexual conquest within that church, because one, the women are moralists. Let me just say this out front. Most women who are Baptist or Southern Baptist or 100% black based churches, the women have no morals. Let me tell you why.
Right.
Because they mostly come in there with weave in their head, kids by several men. So how could you sit there and preach this group of people who've normally been in power, and their only power is what's between their legs, and they will sit there. I've been in some churches where the women in the front had shirts, skirts on shorter than motherfuckers out on the strip.
Right.
How can you as a pastor not sit there and be like, shit, my dick is hard as hell?
Right. Like, Tommy, did you notice this? Like, women of today, they dress like prostitutes, man. Like, prostitutes back in, like, the 50s. Dress. Women today literally dress like prostitutes. They don't even know it.
Go ahead. All y'all who have been called, y'all can jump in at any time. It's not a one-on-one conversation. Y'all can jump in at any time.
I agree.
I ain't know he was in there.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was like, damn, these niggas is respectful.
Hey,
these niggas respectful as hell. Nigga putting his hands up talking about something. Apparently he don't see me. Nigga, that's a phone.
We black folks, we respect other black men's opinions.
Well, that's right. That's what I love about this show. I get some of the truest dudes that call in, and it's cool that y'all saying that. But you understand, when you go into a black church, and I hate to say this about black women because I know they're going to get mad, but to me it's the truth. I think black women try their best whenever, in general, when they see a situation that's going right, their job is to always cause destruction, confusion to that situation. Don't believe me? Have a bunch of male friends that get along, hang out, play Xbox, never had no problem. Soon as one of them get a girl, shit starts happening.
Yeah, women destroy a lot of stuff, man.
We do. Think about it. Men don't. We don't go around and fuck up a woman's friendship like that. We don't give a crap.
Oh,
right.
I remember when I was in college, right? I remember like we at Grand Valley, we got along like our chapter, but the girl chapters, like the AKA, the Deltas, the Zetas, especially the AKA, they always got into it. Dudes breaking up because of men's fights and all that stuff. Oh. Like, man, the black friends, you know, we had issues, but not like that.
Yeah.
A lot of it was to do with the women. In fact, the situation, I remember when I was a freshman, I was sophomore when I just crossed, right? There was a chick, she was one of two twins. She was the ugly twin, or relatively speaking. She was messing with one guy, and she was messing with this other dude who was little, he wasn't good, and didn't really know what was going on. So the guy, Dean, tried to tell him, like, hey, you know, this chick ain't no good, he didn't believe her. And they fell out for a second.
Wow.
This chick ended up getting pregnant and dropping out of school. I'm like, well, fortunately, we never paired, and he ended up leaving Grand Valley, not coming back. So it's cool now, but that chick just jacked up with her relationship. Piece of shit, bitch, too.
And you know what else is funny? The Bible is immensely sexist towards women. It is. So it's amazing that black women follow it the way that they follow it. The Bible basically tells you how women always bring that situation.
You know what it is, though? I was going to say that, like, I think with black women, they pick and choose what they want to read or what they want to go by. You know,
right.
So whenever they be like, oh, well, you know, the Bible did say thou shalt not have sex before marriage, they be like, oh, don't be telling me that. Don't be judging me. It's like... But you want
to
say
they be wanting to get these black women want to get buzzed down, dude.
You know why? Because they believe that that's their only power in their pussy. That's why when you hear a black woman describe herself, she talks about herself physically. Like when I asked a woman, told me nobody can hold you down like a no one holds a black woman down like a black man. I was like, I mean a black woman.
Stop
it. She said, nobody holds a black man down like a black woman. I asked her, what do you mean hold down? Because I said, you're right. Nobody holds us down. Y'all hold us down so the police can get us. Y'all hold us down. We can't get no motherfucking advancement out of our job. Y'all hold us down. You're right. Y'all hold us down.
True story.
And she got mad, but I was like, why do y'all say shit that is not quantifiable in order to say how great you are?
Tommy, that's because it sounds good. It sounds good to him.
Right, because hold you down is a word that don't even mean shit.
It don't mean nothing.
So when I asked her, she said, well, you'd keep on messing with them white women. You see what happened to Kobe and Tiger Woods. I said, first off, Tiger Woods is not black. Second off, Kobe Bryant's wife is not white. Third off, these men cheated on their wives, and if their wives had stayed and did nothing, you would have said they weak. That's why the black men with them. Black women want it both ways. They claim that if you cheat on a man, then you should leave. But when the white women leave for being cheated on, they turn around and say, see, they tried to take your money.
Right.
Brother, that's highly annoying, man. That's highly annoying when they say that. Yeah, sometimes you just want to backhand them. No lie. Like,
right, because you're thinking Kobe White should have left. The man was fucking a damn a trashy white chick in the ass over a couch.
Oh, what?
In a two-star hotel.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you should have left him on that.
You can't just go around slapping bitches.
Kobe, you in a two-star hotel? Yo,
that nigga said hotel. That nigga said Kobe was in the Motel 6.
You can't just go around slapping bitches, though.
Hey, Tom, remember that? I remember that case, dude. They tried to paint her out like she was just a sweet mountain girl. I was like, nope, that's a damn hoe. She had six steps of semen inside her underpants.
What?
Oh, yeah, they found all kinds of semen in her. It, they thought they was in the SS Cole, all them semen.
That nigga Cole was busted.
Yep, I'm like, okay, and she's sweet, all right.
He was busting, nigga.
Oh, only a few people got that joke, but for those who did, thank you for laughing.
I know, I got the SS code.
but if you think about it, we do have to deal with a lot of denial. In the black community, we don't have, and somebody said it earlier in the conversation, where it's rare that you hear a black woman say, you know, my bad, you're right, I did do that. That was out of line. I was having that discussion with a woman today, and I wanted to pull a little bit of hair I got out of my head. Because I was like, how the fuck? And see, this is my biggest problem. Men raised by these women are just as full of denial, because mama was
right.
full of denial.
Right.
You catch the motherfucker, they done left some shit in the kitchen. Did you leave it? I didn't come in the kitchen. They leave the door open. Did you leave it? I wasn't there. And you be thinking, why is it that damn hard to just say, every time I get, because did you leave the stove on? I'd be like, yeah, I left that motherfucker on. I know I was cooking. If it's still on, I'm probably the one left it on.
Right. I'm only person.
Think about it. That's simple fucking logic. If I know my black ass went out the front door and somebody say, hey, you left the front door, why am I say, uh-oh, I locked it. But if you notice that the first words out of a black woman's mouth, she will deny whatever the fuck it is you just said.
You know it's crazy.
Sometimes it will be something that's not even argumentative. It's not something that's a fight. But they're so used to not being blamed, because I don't want to take the blame. They will argue you down about shit. I got into an argument with a girl about something, and I had the video proof that she did it.
Yikes.
She went from saying, I didn't do it, to why you go through my shit.
Wow.
Wow, I wish white motherfuckers would just start, like, just cussing motherfuckers out. Real talk.
Oh, man.
If people ask me why am I so harsh, I'm like, I can talk to my own mama and remember shit that happened at 10 and 11. And she act like I wasn't there. Uh-uh, we didn't live in the ghetto when you were 10. We had a mansion. We did, mama. Look at these pictures of me with these motherfucking holes in my pants and these fucking badass patches on these Lee jeans. Uh-uh,
oh,
that's not you.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
why.
That comes from lack of accountability, because think about it.
Right.
Like, women are held accountable for nothing. Nothing they do is wrong. Everything they do is okay. Everything you do is wrong, though.
But when
white women are held accountable that they be trying to throw up when they in high school to lose weight. White women are held accountable to their men.
Right.
White women don't get breast implants for other white women. They get it for their men.
Oh,
right.
That's right.
Hey, Tom, why do you think it's so many fat black women? Why do you think it's so many fat black women running around here?
Right, because they don't give a shit about us.
Standards.
I think it's more about our diet, bro.
Motherfucker want to eat hog mouths and chitlins and shit like that.
I agree with you to a certain extent, though. There's a lot of brothers my age at 36. And them brothers are walking around.
I'm 33. I'm right behind you, nigga.
Right. So I'm saying, I see brothers walking around my age in pretty good damn shape. But all these bitches' shapes is pretty much fucked over after 30.
But you know what they want to say, though? They want to say how they were born fat.
They'll say, don't nobody want a bone. They'll make fun of a chick for being skinny, so that bitch will go on a damn rampage to get fat. I've seen girls ruin their shape just to get more ass. Seriously.
You know what? Yeah, more ass is a beautiful thing, but at the same time, ruining your shape to do it, like that video you put up earlier today.
Right, like that girl was a young ass girl, and somebody's mom
even had her baby's footprint
on her back. Did you see
and
that?
Like you, with the butterflies on her booty.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'd have still fucked the shit out that bitch.
No, she could have got it. I'd have gave all kind of dick and brought some extra dick in.
But at the same time, if she go 10, 15 pounds more, you know, that's just going to be it. She's going to be butt.
The thing is that that girl looked good for like the second, but that girl's like 22 years old.
Dang.
That's that girl's perfect, a baby. Bro. That's perfect.
No, what I'm saying is you shouldn't have a shitty shape like that when you're a baby.
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't have to look on TV and see
baby.
Robin Meade and hear black men say, man, that girl old. Okay, so she fine as fuck and she old. Now find me some damn black women that's that age that look that damn good that give a crap.
You know what? It done got to the point where is I'm a 33-year-old man, and the majority of chicks that I mess around with is between 19 and 25.
I don't think I can handle a 19-year-old. That bitch would probably fuck shit out of me.
Shit, 19 is loving.
Y'all man, laughing, but I know my fucking limit.
You laughing too, but shit, that 19 motherfucker get on your ass, you'll lose your mind.
Last time I fucked a 19-year-old, I was 30. I think I was 30. That bitch was 6'1", little skinny bitch. I remember I said, I'm going to tear this bitch puss up. I'm going to wet this little tall, skinny-ass bitch. Because she was like, she was some fucking model. And she was 6'1", and the bitch always wore 3-inch heels. So I'm walking around looking like this motherfucker little brother and shit. We, sometimes make you, I don't like not feeling like no motherfucking man. Like you might slap me in the fucking scalp and shit. I'm like, I just slapped the bitch for no reason just to let her know. You know, I'm still a man, bitch. But anyway. I said, I'm gonna wet this young bitch out. Man, that young girl fucked the shit out of me. I broke up with that girl.
That's
that
what I'm talking about.
Seriously, she talking about, oh, give it to me. And I was done giving it. It was shrinking. You know how Pac-Man, when he hit one of them ghosts?
those blue ones they
were.
Oh,
my God.
My dick said, pum,
pum. Game over.
Wow. Dang.
Oh, man.
I said, damn, I have no more dick to give this girl. I quit. Nigga, I tapped out.
Stop, bro. Stop.
I couldn't do this, man, and I refused to take Viagra.
I'll take Viagra in a second.
I can't take
if
it.
If I'm
going to
fuck a
19-year-old,
20-year-old bitch, you damn right. I'm going to take Viagra and go hard.
I be done had an adverse reaction. I'm at work and shit with a hard-ass dick. I don't need that.
I mean, you got them side effects.
I don't like fucking that much.
To
be honest, I don't. I'm an old man. I don't like fucking that much. It's fun
you's
every
night.
You're
not an old man, bro. You're not an old man.
Listen, this is when I realized I was old.
I'm on my way to being an old man. Nah,
look, this is when I realized I was old. When I get into bed and the young bitch rubbed my back and I woke up, it was 10 o'clock the next morning.
Oh,
that's
shit.
A good ass
oh,
man.
Right
there.
Okay, that's when you know you old. You last thing you remember was thinking, man, I'm gonna tear this puss up. Next thing you remember,
no,
man,
bro.
I want some breakfast.
That's just you, nigga. That's just you, nigga.
But I know my shortcomings. I done went off for weekends, hung out with bitches, and talked to them the whole weekend. That's when a nigga's old.
Oh no.
Talk to a bitch.
And then sit there and talk to a bitch whole weekend, lay in the bed and eat marshmallows and shit. That nigga flew to New York to make s'mores with a bitch.
None of that. I'd made it happen.
That's what I said. I'm an old man. I don't be wanting it like that because it seems like it's too much work. Because these bitches be making you do too much work. Seriously, women make you do too much work. They ain't never satisfied. I didn't come yet. I had a bitch say that to me. I didn't come yet. I said, that's your bad, not mine.
Family. I'm going to say this to you, Tommy.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you. You family, man. Everybody I know call you family now. Motherfuckers, I go to work and people be like, what time you talking about? They come to me, what time you talking about? They
That's
call your ass Tommy. You ain't got no last name no more. You just Tommy. What time
well,
are you talking about?
I'm used to being called motherfucker every time I turn around. That motherfucker's stupid.
You is stupid to the motherfucker, but that's neither here nor there.
And see, we as black people are the only people that take insults as a compliment.
Of course.
Nigga, you stupid as hell. Thanks, brother.
Because we'll make stupid into a motherfucking genius.
But don't you think that's a bit of, and to get back on this, don't you think this is a bit of a problem that we have in the black community that we can turn everything bad into good, and that's why the church has become what it is? We have made everything bad.
No, only because listen, Tom, the church ain't bad. It's the people in the church that's
No, that's
bad.
What I'm saying. I said that's the problem with the church. We have turned the bad stuff into good and made it acceptable. The church used to be a place where you had to try and do better if you were going to go to it. Now it's a place where they will try to lower their standards to the lowest common denominator. You got churches now that are playing basically rap music. The songs sound like love songs. Mary Mary songs be played in the club. There's a problem
right.
at that point.
That's
agree.
A fucked up church.
I agree.
That's a fucked up church. Because, I mean, even in the Bible, Jesus even said, when someone asked him, why are you here with the sinners, everybody that does everything wrong, and he said, it's because these are the people that need me. I need to be around these people. I don't need
exactly,
to be around the people
that's
trying to live in Miami.
You're right, but he never lowered himself to them. He didn't say in order
no,
to get them, let me
that.
Start doing what they doing.
Like you said earlier about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he sat with them, and everyone was wondering, why are you sitting with the tax collectors and the people that want to take out our money? Only because these are people that need me.
Yep.
You need me, but they need me more because they're bigger sinners than you are.
And that's the problem with the black church. We've gotten to the point where we don't want to be a help to the people. We want to be a leech on the people. Then why do you think so many churches are selling so much shit? Everybody
I mean,
in church is selling
true.
Something. They got shirts and motherfucking hats and tags on your car, and they got all kinds of shit for the church to get this to become this huge big spectacle. But what do?
And Tommy,
I've
normally,
never heard of that.
I normally don't like to disagree with you, but I will in the sake of.
Well, let me hang up
on
you then.
My personal experience.
Let me hang up.
Don't hang up on me. Don't hang up on me.
Yeah,
you're
funny as hell.
Go ahead. Tell me how where
talking
did that you disagree
to you.
With me at?
No, I disagree with you with the fact that every church is not like that.
Oh, no. Now you're starting to sound
like
a black woman.
And don't get me wrong.
Wait a minute.
Wrong.
Now you're starting to sound like a black woman. You know I did not say every church
is no
like
way
that.
I could ever sound like a black woman, man. It's just not. I'm not.
You know I did not say every church is
like
that
woman.
Now, right? Can you at least give me that?
Hell, if you got a dissenting opinion to mine, hell, come on. Let's argue about it, dude.
I'm saying, but I said, can you at least give me that I never said every church was like that?
Yeah, and I will give you that.
All right, now go ahead with your argument.
What I was saying is not every church is like that. It's the same thing you said.
Oh, my gosh.
But at the same time, it's a lot of churches that I think they do it for the money. And, you know, they got some tax breaks and all that old other bull crap. And they shouldn't. You know,
I think there's some very good churches out there. Buddy who was on the line right now, Brooklyn, when he said, in my church, if you act a damn fool, he tell you, you got to ride out.
That's right.
I put it like this. If you come in a Catholic church and you act a fool, somebody probably going to exercise you.
Yeah, in the back when they bend you over a table.
Yeah. Oh, man, don't do me like that.
Lassa said, yeah, no.
Don't do me like that.
Oh, my God.
In the Catholic church that I work
at. No.
In the Baptist church that I work at, they ain't going to bend you over the table. But they'll tell you about yourself. You get told about yourself.
Well,
you
that's
right.
All I'm saying. We used to, and if you even just go back to who Christians are supposed to be following, Christ, That was what his role was. That's why I always laugh when people get mad at me for what I'm doing. I'm like, Jesus was a heretic of his time.
Oh, no, I never get mad at you, brother, because for the simple fact, you doing what Jesus been doing for a couple thousand years, and you doing what you're supposed to do.
Right, he shook the foundation
of
what people would believe.
That's why I've been following you this long.
Well, I thank you, brother, because I always look at it, and I said, the thing is, sometimes, and I don't know if there's a God or not. I don't know. But I do believe that some people, there's a truth that's put in them that they're forced to tell. I tell people all the time, "You think, what do you think I'm getting out of doing what the fuck I'm doing? I ain't on OWN and sitting up there, and next thing you know, I'm a millionaire. I'm going the wrong route to become a millionaire. So why do you think I'm doing it? Why do you think I get up every day to expose my family to stupidity?"
You get up every day to expose your family to stupidity because you're trying to become a millionaire because you want to make your family's life better.
I always look at it like this, and I tell people, if I wanted to be a millionaire, I wouldn't go about it the way that I'm going about it. If I wanted to be a thousandaire, I wouldn't go about it the way that I'm going about it.
Hell,
because I'm not making friends doing what I'm doing.
17 million ways to go about becoming a millionaire. We just need to, as black folk, we need to learn every single fucking way.
But what I'm saying is, what I do isn't about money at all. Because if it was about money, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing.
No, I mean, I know what you do is not about money. Not first and foremost. Because, hell, I mean, I wouldn't have found you and start following you a year ago. It's a year ago, probably about 3 days from now, that I found you and started following you. And then I wouldn't have started following you and listening to what you said and agreeing, because it's everything that I agree with, if it wasn't the truth. And I tell everybody that when somebody says something stupid to me, you know what I tell them? I'm going to tell you what God loves. And God loves the truth.
I agree, and that's how I've always felt. I've always felt like it's my job to tell the truth. Brothers, here's what I want y'all to do. I want y'all to hold on. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to bring in some more brothers to talk. And we're going to talk about that young girl, the 13-year-old, because I know y'all got some opinions on that. Maybe you
I got hella opinions on that.
Yeah, I want to hear what y'all got to say, because that right there addresses family life. It addresses the idea that we have a lot of brothers who are walking into a situation where they are dating outside of there. They're dating people with children. This man got his only child with the wife he had murdered by somebody else's child, basically. So we're going to talk about that when we come back and more. And, of course, y'all know what tonight's show about. We're talking about weave and black women. We're going to get into that as well, and especially after the 10 o'clock break. So everybody that's on the line, we're going to let you guys on to get in on the roundtable. Ooh, we got Gina on the line. We got Lisa on the line. We're going to talk with those guys as well, because I want to hear what men and women think about all this. So what we're going to do is go to a break, and we'll be right back. You guys know who I am. You know what this is. Act like you don't know. This is your world.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio, with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it locked.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Tommy Sotomayor. This is a message to the loyal following out there. You know, and I know, there's nothing better than a nice, well-dressed man in a suit. Now, with the budgets being as tight as they are, a lot of people cannot afford a nice suit. Well, that's untrue, because my friends at CustomSuitShop.com have made the custom suit available and affordable for all price ranges and all budgets. That's right. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. They believe that they're witnessing the return of the elegant gentleman, and they are dressing up again. They want clothing that fits right and is comfortable and looks great and makes a value statement. That's what my man Louis Morgan of CustomSuitShop.com wants everyone to know. See, what they can do is they can come to your home, perform 20 key measurements,
and then hook you up with a custom suit. You know people getting tired of wearing suits off the rack. Not saying there's nothing wrong with suits off the rack, but how would you like to have a custom suit made to fit you, the way your body contours, the way you move? That's what you can get at the Custom Suit Shop. Go to CustomSuitShop.com. There are three locations. They have one in Marietta at 1395 South Marietta Parkway, Building 100. One in Charlotte, North Carolina. Oh, South Towers. Then they have another one in Birmingham, Alabama. That's right. Three locations where you can get your custom suit made. So go to CustomSuitShop.com and make sure that you mention Tommy Sotomayor sent you. CustomSuitShop.com, where with prices like these, you can't afford not to look good. Just log on at CustomSuitShop.com. That's CustomSuitShop.com. And call at 404-869-3113 if you're in the Atlanta area. If you're in the Birmingham area, call it 205-541-9469. And if you're in the Charlotte area, call 704-552-3690. And tell them Your World My Views sent you.
For Westwood College and decided to give him a call.
At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
I knew I needed to talk to somebody about money when I opened my design shop.
When Mom got sick.
My daughter is engaged already.
I felt sort of stuck.
I went to SunTrust.
I just wanted to talk to someone.
And they listened.
Helped me see options I didn't know I had.
Now I'm moving forward.
Now I can focus on what's really important.
I'm better off than I thought.
At SunTrust, we're here to help you find the answers you're looking for.
This is my baby girl.
That's why we start every conversation with, how can we help you?
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. This is fucking Friday edition of the show. Now, we used to do something on the fucking Friday edition of the show. We don't do it anymore. Which is basically telling people, asking people to say, who would you like to say kiss my ass? I missed that segment. Because a lot of people I want to tell kiss my ass. So before I answer the phones, I'm going to give y'all my kiss my ass segment because I missed the kiss my ass segment. We're going to bring that shit back. And here's who I want to tell to kiss my ass. Everybody who participated in Black Friday.
Every one of you motherfuckers can kiss my ass. Every one of you people who jumped up and ran out your motherfucking house to sit in a line for 6 hours to try and get that one damn TV at Best Buy that was 40 inches for $178. It wasn't nothing but one damn TV, bitch. It was just one. The rest of them was at the regular price. And y'all was fighting over shit. I got a problem with that. Y'all all can kiss my ass. What the fuck is wrong with people where they'll get up and do that, but your punk ass won't make a way to get to your damn child's PTA meeting? You can't never make their football game. You don't do none of that shit, but you wake up and sit outside for 6 hours to try and get a motherfucking toy. A Xbox game. Prices are slashed, so y'all slashing niggas to get slashed prices. It's a damn shame. Every one of you people who sit around waiting on Black Friday can kiss my ass. And they had to name it Black Friday. It's all violent and people just running up in stores and trying to steal shit. Y'all need a life. Every one of y'all. I don't care if some of y'all who listen to the show right now went and did it. I still think it's stupid. Brooklyn, did you go and enjoy Black Friday?
Nope. I never done it, and I don't think I ever will.
Good man. I don't think no real nigga could go to damn Black Friday. A gay man, he'll probably go do it to get a purse and shit.
Word.
They got them Louis bags on Black Friday. Man, I'm going. I bet. All right then, bro. You want me to get you a Louis bag? No, I'm good, bro.
I told my mom that yesterday. I ain't doing none of that Black Friday stuff. Get trampled on, get stepped on. Nah, I'm good.
That's a shitty way to die. What do you think about that, Robert? Are you a Black Friday person? Don't be modest. Don't fuck around. Let me see you on Channel 5 News and you was up there in Walmart yelling at motherfuckers.
Once upon a time, but when I started working retail, I started to hate Black Friday. I used to work at Best Buy. And pretty much, you know, you sit, you gotta get there early. You got this line like twisting around the store, and it's just annoying. I don't like Black Friday.
How was it dealing with those people from the retail side? I'd love to hear that. How was it dealing with those people?
How much time do I got? No, honestly, retail is a rich, high, scummy villain. I hate retail. Retail is shit. I'm just gonna be straight up honest with you. Customers also were fucking stupid. I mean, really stupid. I mean, really stupid. I got a story for you. I was working at Best Buy, and it's a foreign couple. They didn't speak much English and whatever, and they had one of those front-wheel washers, right? And it kept on, you know, it was too many suds. In fact, I think Claus washed clothes, but saw the sun. So they've been speaking ahead of this problem for about a couple weeks. They come in. I saw the problem in 5 minutes. They weren't using the right detergent. Which says an instruction book. That they didn't read.
What you doing? What's going on over there? What you doing?
Me?
Yeah, what happened? It sounds like you cutting in and out. What's going on? You must have been watching some of them photos of Robin Me.
Now I got I got this headphone set in, and I got like a headphone mic. That's what I've been using, so maybe it's cutting
out. That thing sound like crap. Nigga, you must have got that shit on White Thursday.
Nah, man, it's on your headphone cable, so.
Y'all headphones don't never work right when y'all call my show. Maybe my show just is not compatible. Maybe I don't know.
Let me check it out.
But you sound good now. You sound great.
Hello?
Yeah, I said you were sounding great for a while.
Okay.
Once I called you on your shit.
Yeah,
let me bring in Antonio. Antonio, did you partake in Black Friday?
No, I ain't mess with Black Friday. I couldn't even think myself to get up and even do Black Friday, man. That's too early for me.
Yeah, I tell people it's hard enough for me to mess with black women. I can't mess with Black Friday.
Right. Hey, what time you think so? The best sales going to be after Christmas anyway.
Exactly.
They always after Christmas.
That's I get all my daughter's Christmas gifts in February.
Right.
We put the tree up and the lights, all kind of shit. As soon as people start throwing away, you ain't going to use that tree? Let me get that. My daughter have a holly jolly Christmas in February.
No, but I can't entertain Black Friday, man. That's too much, man. I just can't shop that long. Like I can't justify waiting in no store line that many hours. Like, that's unacceptable, man. Like,
no, you're right. That's why I couldn't wouldn't get no iPhone. I kept thinking, nigga, why you got to be the first nigga to get iPhone? Do they give out pussy after that?
Right. I mean,
seriously, what has a nigga gotten from getting the iPhone first? I just want to know. Some of you guys who've gotten the iPhone first, tell me what did you get after you picked it up?
I'm about to answer that right now. Some likes on Instagram. I like that Facebook. That's what they get. Oh, we got the beautiful.
Wow.
Because I always wondered, why would I ever run somewhere? The only thing I ever waited in line to get, ever, and my wait was like, I had to wait for them to sell it. Because they weren't going to sell until 12 o'clock, but it wasn't a line. And that was John Madden, when me and my friends used to play Madden, because you had to have Madden in order to play. You didn't want to be the nigga that didn't have Madden, and these motherfuckers would set up their audibles and shit. And even then, when we would lie to our girls and tell her where we were going, you can't tell a bitch I'm going to wait on Madden. I couldn't. I was married, and I still would lie to my girl, tell her there was some other shit going on. We're going to feed the homeless. I take a big-ass pot of soup out the house and everything. I played that shit to the hilt. Come back with a bag from GameStop. I didn't tell her we just playing video games like that. I used to feel bad when I was sitting in the house, because it was different when we used to sit down there with each other in front of each other and playing the game, but it got sophisticated. Now we can play the shit online. I'd be in the bedroom for 9 damn hours trying to simulate the fucking season to see if my man went up.
I'm trying to get your attributes up.
Yeah, I said, this is what I knew. I said, man, I take this shit too serious. I was sitting there simulated the shit down 10 seasons. Nigga done retired. It's everything. Yeah. I would do the draft, and I'd do it all just so when we play for real, you nigga, for real. Then we fuck around, we got on that NCAA. That shit was worse, because every 4 damn years a nigga would graduate or he'd go to the pros, so you had to get your motherfucking recruit game up.
Right.
I said, let me get off this damn thing. I probably can out-recruit motherfucking Jimmy Johnson right now. I'm so good at that shit.
Real GM.
Yes, that's when watching football really became fun after I really got into Madden. Be perfectly honest, after I got into Madden, watching football was really fun. It's kind of like, I guess, people say they get when they play fantasy football. But I don't think I can get behind fantasy football. But I'm one of those people, I know I'm an addicted. I got an addictive personality, so I just don't do some shit. Let me bring in Gina from the 216. What up, Gina?
Hey.
You ain't gonna come in
here
with
me?
That damn little. Yeah, but you ain't gonna come in here with that damn hate and shit like I owe you some motherfucking money.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm closing my store down. I'm on my earphones.
Down.
I didn't want my
shit.
Earphones.
You own a store?
Like homeboys.
You own a store?
I don't. I'm a supervisor.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, man,
I'm
in here.
I'm not here for it.
You
want to keep it 100? No, I don't own a store.
Well, if you owned it, I was gonna try to come fuck you. Every black woman that owns something, I try to fuck them. That's just my rule.
Now, if a black woman had said that, you would have been talking mad shit about it.
If she said that she try to fuck every man that owns something, no, I wouldn't.
Everybody
that knows me knows I'm a liberal. I'm just a big believer in being responsible. I don't give a fuck how many dicks you suck. No, seriously, I don't care how many dicks
a
woman suck. Well, that's stupid. That right there, that shit is seeping into your scalp. And we even stupid because you look unnatural. That has nothing to do with sucking a dick. It's unnatural. If I walked around with a Toucan Sam nose on because I thought it made me look better, you wouldn't say shit.
Yeah, you would.
And I'm up in the club talking about just follow my nose. Doggy nose.
Yeah. I will ride you back.
But that's what a woman looks like to me, with a straight silky weave. Why do y'all think that look cute? White people literally got sites dedicated to where they're making fun of how black women look in weave.
Word?
Well, check that out. I do see some crazy weave, I'm not going to lie. But me personally, if I do wear hair pieces, I get my own nappy texture.
But that's what
so
I'm saying.
When it's I like, take it out and put it in, they don't even know the difference. They thinking that it's mine. They get confused. Like, is that your hair?
You say you treat your hair like you treat a nigga with a little dick. He put it out and put it in. You can't tell the difference. But no, let me ask
but,
you this.
I mean, all honestly, I know you make fun of a lot of women that wear weave, but I'm going to say this. Only time I wear it is like because I'm into like athletic and stuff. So if I'm doing a lot of swimming and I want my hair to rest from heat styling or whatever, I'll go ahead and corn roll it up. Throw something in it, but it looks like mine.
But I'm confused. How does I hear that a lot, so maybe you can help me. How does weave give your hair a rest? I hear women saying that.
Because
a rest
my,
from
your,
what?
Your real hair is cornrowed underneath, so you frying and dyeing the hair. You don't really care about that because that's not your hair. Your hair is underneath just resting in the cornrows.
You're giving it a hair from a rest from what, though?
From, like, heat styling. Like, I'm in Cleveland, so the winter gets really brittle and the dry, and your hair breaks
right,
a lot, no matter if
you
got a perm or not. Or, like, just from the chlorine, me swimming or whatever.
So when you put on a hair hat, the chlorine don't get in your hair?
I will not put on a hair hat. Do you mean a wig?
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to? No, I don't wear hair hats.
What part of
I'm saying anything that covers your hair, that's to me is why I call it a hair hat. You put something over your head.
Yeah, it is a hair hat. You're absolutely right. It is a hair hat. I don't wear
right,
those.
So I'm saying, you're saying that chlorine somehow just gets repelled by this hair hat.
No, it doesn't get repelled. When your hair is cornrowed underneath, you don't have to heat styling and be washing it and manipulating your scalp, you know, and doing styling. Styling is really what damages your hair on top of everyday things that you're doing.
Yeah, but I'm saying you just like, said you said I to protect it from the chlorine when it goes swimming.
Chlorine, yeah. I mean,
but when I just turned around and told
you,
so
you
when
you
have this in
you're
your hair,
get out,
chlorine.
You wash your hair.
So you don't have to wash your hair after being in the pool with
you
a hair hat and chlorine.
But your hair is the styling that really damages. Your hair is cornrowed and it's like secured in one spot. It's not being manipulated and moved around and all of that. I know you're a guy. It doesn't make sense. Because
I'm trying to get you to
make,
but that's
really
why I'm saying. That's what this show's about. We're trying to get y'all to make it make sense.
Yeah. That's what it is. So, like say a woman that have braids, how her hair is just secure. It's just in one spot. It's not being moved. It's not being manipulated, whether she rinses it, whatever she does with it. It's just in one spot. Her guys that wear cornrows, it's just in one spot until the next time they get it cornrowed again. So that's what protects their hair, and that's why your hair is growing so healthy and it's not being manipulated by styling, combing, and all of that breaks your hair off.
So let me ask you, how are these brothers, like you see these athletes like RG3 and all these football players, they have me down they motherfucking back. And they swim, fuck white hoes, play basketball. You know the usual nigga stuff. How do they do this without all of the weave? How do they give their hair a rest?
Well, with dreads, it's a little bit different because it's just like that. It's not being manipulated or styled. It's just twisting it, just leaving it alone. Actually, that's the best way to leave your hair. Just do something with it and just leave it alone, and it'll not break as much. And then a lot of times guys, well, the straight guys, don't do too much styling to their hair anyway. If they have long hair, like Ray Dial, you know, he throw a band in, that's it. He probably just wash it and go. They don't do all of that extra styling like women
but
do.
I've seen
the
girls,
coloring
but I've
and
seen
the
girls with
and
dreads
that.
Who have a gang of hairstyles with their dreads, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, the actual hair is not being manipulated. It's all coiled around in one dread. It's not being manipulated. Like, each strand is not being combed out or blow-dried and heat-styled and everything. It's just all in one thing. Just like a woman with braids. She can, you know, put it in her, you know, do like the same thing guys do with dreads.
So
with
why
the
is that not
hair,
the
majority? Strand,
why, okay, so let me ask you seriously. Why is that not the majority of hairstyles amongst black people? Why is that the minority?
I don't know.
You just said it. What you just said it that it is the healthiest way to have your hair.
It
so
is.
So why is it not the majority of black hairstyles in dreads?
I think that's. I'm not even gonna say self-hatred, but I just think I mean, I don't know.
Why not?
You look at my hair right now.
Might as well
say
this on
right now.
Yeah, like they just said, why
so
not?
I don't mind the black style.
Well, they were saying, why not say it? It is what it is. That's like me cheating on my girl and being like, I don't want nobody. I don't want to say I'm a cheater, but.
Everybody has their different reasons why they don't want to wear dreads. But I feel like if they would rather, like you said, put something straight over their hair and never wear their hair how it really is, I think that is a form of self-hatred. But me personally, I don't want dreads in my hair because I want to change my hair up. But that's why I said I wouldn't say
But what do you mean change your hair up? I thought they could change their hair up. I went to a website where girls with dreads had like 99,000 hairdos.
Right. And they're looking cute, too.
I mean, it does, but me personally, I don't want dreads in my hair. But I don't mind the afro. I don't mind it wearing a nappy. I don't mind that. I just don't. Me personally, I don't want dreads.
All right. Now, have you noticed we've done that a couple of times within this conversation of where you've said something and then I've proven that wrong and then you went back to what the real answer is? The real answer should always be because I don't want to. But what y'all try to do is justify it by saying things, oh, well, you don't have very many hairstyles, and since I like hairstyles.
He said, what are those?
No, how many? 20. This show doing right.
Yeah, remember I said it was 20 short. I'm sorry, Tommy. I'm still close.
Sorry, you tell that motherfucker to come back later.
Oh, what is this? That's my.
Okay, let me do this. Gina,
I'm sorry, don't hang up on me.
No, I'm gonna just put you on hold and let you come back because you're talking to other people and it's making my show look hood. I'm sure I'll throw that out there. A nigga's show looking hood right now. I tell you who I haven't talked to in a while. I haven't talked to my man Garrett. What's up, Garrett?
What up, Tommy? How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good. Let me ask you something. Did you notice she said two things that were contradictory? She said, oh, well, I wear this because when I get in the pool, I don't want the chlorine to get in my hand. So I asked.
Okay.
So you trying to tell me chlorine will not get in your hand?
No. Okay. I was actually like... I agreed with her in that sense because I don't think you really were listening at what she was trying to say. It's the whole. It's not that chlorine doesn't damage your hair. It's the fact that after you swim, you have to do something with your hair or it look like shit. And that's the process that is damaging it. If you just cornrow your hair, you ain't got to do shit. You can just wash it, but you don't got
to
do nothing.
I understood that, but then it has nothing to do with chlorine because by that logic, getting in the damn tub, it would do the same thing.
Well, yeah, she's just talking about you don't have to do anything. Once you just braid it up, or if you wear something over, you don't have to fuck with your hair no more.
Maybe that's why I think I lose a lot of black people because I'm a words person.
If you use the word chlorine,
I'm going to hold you to chlorine.
You can't expect
me to think that you meant something else when you said chlorine.
In the same exact way. Yep.
When she said, "Oh, you know, because I want to keep the chlorine," if she had just said. No, when you get your hair wet, you have to style it, and every time you style it,
you damage
it breaks your hair.
Right. Exactly.
But when you say chlorine, I'm thinking, well, chlorine gets in your hair regardless if you get in the pool.
Right, exactly. Well, it's the same thing like when she was talking about like the dreads. She's just talking about you can't style it a different way. You have to style it with dreads, so you're going to have a whole bunch of different styles that incorporate dreads in there, not just a different hairstyle where your hair might be straighter if she, you know.
But let me ask you something. When they get a relaxer, all of the hairstyles that they have at that point encompass straight hair.
Exactly, yes.
So no matter what hair you have, your hair will encompass that hair.
Of course, yes.
So why is it that it's straighter hair is more okay to be able to style than...
Well, it's not because dreads, you're actually limited with... If you have straight hair, you can at least make it curly. You know what I mean? You can do other things to
I've seen people crinkle their dreads. I'm not being funny.
I haven't seen anybody crinkle their
No, that's true.
Not that funny.
That's real.
I haven't seen anybody crinkle their dreads. I don't know.
You've never seen a person with spiral dreads. You've never seen that.
Oh, spiral. I usually crinkle.
They do spiral, they do crinkle, they do each one of them. The crinkle is like they do that primp thing, and it bends it. It's the same thing. It does the wavy look. I've seen them do it with the spirals.
I've seen the spirals. I've yet to see it crinkled, but I'm sure it exists.
Rarely see people with women with dreads. Period. I hear what you're saying, but it ain't like you got a big ass sampling.
I have to say that yesterday for Thanksgiving, I went over to the to the black side of the family, you know. And I only usually see them for holidays and stuff.
You was scared of the motherfucker, wasn't you?
Nah, not at all. No, you know what? It's a lot. They're all, you know, they're completely a lot very well spoken. So I love that side.
You sound like a racist white man. Go ahead.
I don't like ghetto. It's not ghetto, and I appreciate that. You know, but I have to say, not one person had weave anything. They all have where they heard natural. I don't know. You know, none of them. Because I actually thought, and I was like, I'm gonna call somebody on it. I couldn't call nobody out on it. So it was good.
But
I was actually,
well, that's good. I think that is cool when you can have a situation like that. Like I said, every girl I know on Facebook, that there's a friend of mine, them whores got like straight up big ass. And black women don't even know how to get regular weave anymore. The weave they're getting now is shit down to their asshole.
It doesn't achieve the look of the reason why they started getting it. You want it to look real, but your motherfucking hair don't grow like that. So
they don't give a damn no more about it looking real. They want to look white.
Yeah. Word.
This chick on Facebook last week, she's a fine chick, you know. She's fine. But all
she
does,
finer than Robin Meade.
She's fine as hell. I mean, I would she keeps her page private, so you couldn't even look to find it if you want to. But she's a dope chick, and but she's like an attention seeker, you know, who makes those damn comments just to have niggas comment on it. And I hate that shit. And she always talks a lot of shit about niggas. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna just straight challenge her. And then so she posed something about how come niggas can't ever give a good compliment without, you know, sounding all hood or something like that. I'm like, well, how come a man can't give a compliment without thinking he's trying to hit on you and shit, you know what I mean? Without thinking you're trying to hit on him. And then and I was like, also, like, why do you wear all that damn weave like you're trying to be white? I'm like, I ain't seen one picture with your hair natural. You got about 2,000 pictures up and shit. And she's like, well, that sounds racist coming from a Hispanic guy. I'm like, I'm half Puerto Rican and half black. You can't completely just negate one whole half of me and shit. And I was like, well, you didn't still ask my question. That bitch blocked me. She couldn't answer it. The moment you challenge that bitch, she gets pissed off. You know what I'm saying? She just want everybody to flow along with that shit. And I hate them kind of bitches. You know? I hate that shit.
Well, I do want to say this, and I know I'm a foul mouth man, but we got to stop calling black women bitches like that in just casual conversation. Y'all got to let me do it, but y'all, we can't do it as a group.
We can't do it collectively. It's just like one motherfucker can do it.
I'm just saying, it's got to be some niggas that just don't say it. Because the funny part is, when I hear y'all say it, I'm like, damn, these niggas is rough. Y'all are harsh.
You must not listen to your own shit.
That's what I said. I don't listen to my shit. If I sound like y'all niggas, I'll boycott myself.
Wow.
I got the dirtiest mouth that I know. I talk like energized play.
Because it's like you were talking about it in just normal tone, you know, and I hate bitches like that. At least I'm mad at the whores when I'm calling them whores. But I mean, I feel you. And the thing about this hair thing, and we're going to get into it more at the 10 o'clock hour, but the thing about that is, it's so sensitive to them, and I want to get some black women to explain to me, because I keep hearing black women always say that they get it for us. But if there's all these black men saying we're tired of seeing weave, they can't really be doing it for us.
They get it for the white man. Shoot.
Right.
Other women. They do it for other women.
That's what I'm saying. So I can't wait to hear the women explain. And after the women get through explaining, we're going to have some crackheads on here, and they're going to explain why they smoke crack.
What?
I mean, like, it's fine. If you do it and you justify, like, you ain't got to sit there and try to justify it. Just if the reason is because I just don't like my nappy-ass natural hair, then that's your reason. But that's your reason. Like, stand by your actual reason. You know, like, most of the people, you know, I pride myself on removing people's excuses, because usually the first thing that somebody says is not the real reason. That's just the reason that they give you. You know what I mean? If chances are, well, I couldn't do it because I ain't had no time. We all got 24 hours in a day. You had the time to do it. You just chose not to do it. You know what I mean? Like, just say what you mean. I mean what you say.
Most
That's
people
it.
Do things like that as a justification. Once you question them, they feel like they need to justify something. So their words that come out of their mouth are something that they're thinking, if I say this to this person, it will make them understand and not criticize me or be critical of the decision I've made. That is why we all first, we immediately get defensive if somebody say, why do you do that?
Exactly.
And so you're right, and I just try to disarm people by calling them bitches. That's the best way to disarm them.
Well, no, I mean, I just remove that excuse, and then you'll eventually get the actual reason why somebody didn't do it.
If you get talking to a black woman, you will never get the actual reason.
That's why I don't get along with black women like that. Cause,
if you got time to actually find out why a black woman did what she did, I've had black women sit there and just do shit, and you told them don't do it. They pretend when they want to fuck with you still. They pretend they understand where you're coming from. That motherfucker do the same shit again next week and wonder why you upset. Bitch, we just had a 9-hour discussion about this shit.
Just had that conversation, yep.
I'm like, it's a crazy thing. But I want to ask you guys about this story. And for those who don't know about the story, 13-year-old has been charged with killing her 2-year-old sister. Now, Tyesha Jackson was reportedly babysitting her younger sister.
There it is.
There right. You go.
I said, y'all niggas need to stop fucking any Isha or anybody that would name their child Isha.
Right.
I've never seen no classy Ishas. Show me some. I will acknowledge if you show me some. But show me a classy Isha. And people say names don't matter. Yes, they do.
Hell yeah.
Right.
They matter.
They sure do.
That said a lot about where she grew up at.
I know a lot of niggas named Mike.
A lot about
George
her mama.
Go around smoking weed.
Right.
I don't know too many dope dealers named George. Tell me I'm lying. How many dope dealers you know walk around named George? A nigga named Bill. What can I get that good weed? Nigga, William got it.
Oh, that nigga changed his name real quick.
They don't fucking their kids up. They don't understand. You fucking your kid up before they got a chance and shit. You can't go on an interview with him fucking LaFuaca and shit like that. What kind of shit is that, man?
Oh, gosh. That. Dang.
My motherfucking connect when I was in college, the nigga that used to supply me with weed, and I, this is not a lie, this nigga name was Dayquil. Dayquil. I said, what the fuck? Dayquil. And of course, I'm this Hispanic Catholic. So everybody in my family name is John Michael in
there.
This nigga named Dayquil. This nigga named Dayquil. So I was like, man, you, whoo, that's a real name you got there. I mean, you can literally, who the fuck can you, and I tell somebody my name is Thomas. There's only two ways to spell it, and the way that somebody on my birth certificate that is without the H, the Americanized way is with the H.
Thomas.
Right. So okay. But you don't sit up there and you told me your name Dayquil. I would never win that in the spelling bee.
Well,
think about it. Because no matter how you spell a black name, you wrong.
Right. What's like that shit that I saw on Facebook? Some bitch was like L-A and then like a hyphen and what a, and that was her name. I guess that's a real name, like LaDasha, like.
Oh yeah, I heard about that. Yeah,
that's her name, like L-E hyphen A. Like what the fuck, like that dash.
I heard about that. Dang.
I got.
They pronounce work. They pronounce
like,
word.
Like even they take a regular name and they make it ghetto. Like okay, you got what is that one name? It's a name and it's actually it's a Japanese name, Tamika. Tamika is a Japanese name, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, how many black folks you know spell Tamika one way? Tamieka, Tamieika, I mean, they spell it like 99 damn ways.
They try to be different and shit, but they ain't
honest. Exactly. We don't like just, and then we call it not being white. Now, let me get this straight. A black bitch will name her kid all kind of stupid shit and say that means they're black. yet you will put a motherfucking weave and perm in yours and your daughter's hair and not say that that's being white. Make that make sense.
That makes no sense. None.
It makes no sense for you to say, I'm naming my child a stupid-ass name because I don't want to be European, and you want to put motherfucking yakky weave in your head.
Now, I got a question. What does your family call you? Do they call you Tommy?
No, they call me TJ.
TJ, because I'm just curious. Like, my mom, her name is Isabel, you know? So it's Isabel, but everything is Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. But she, like, probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, she, like, really made it a point, like, my name is Isabel. So I guess that's what she wants to be called now. So you being Tomas, like, why, like...
Yeah, but the difference is that she kept on to the old country. It's like my grandmother. She's Josephine. She wants you to now, at her old age, call her that, even though she barely can remember that. That's her real name. When she do remember it, that's what she say.
No, I just didn't know if you had an affinity to your actual real name or if it's, like, you know, a lot of people.
I stop having it because you start hanging around white folks. They'll never call you by your name. Fuck around and tell a white person your name, will you? Hey, Bill,
what's up, Richard? What's up,
hey, white Nick? People will never call you by your real name. They're going to call you something. Hi, my name's James. What's up, Jimmy? Oh, son of a bitch. Your whole life being Jimmy. Forget your own damn name because this white boy will not call you by your name.
Like,
he
that's
won't.
Not. That reminds me of Kuta K. Oh, what was it? That movie and what you call it? The Roof.
Yeah, but they kept calling Kuta. They told him to go call himself Toby.
Yeah, instead he called himself Kunta. I was like, wow.
White people got a nickname for you. Like, I mean, well, you got to understand. And when I grew up when I was little, they would call me Flacco.
What? Oh. Wow.
Who's on the line that's Hispanic that know what I just said?
Nigga, I'm a disgrace. I'm half Puerto Rican and I'm a disgrace.
See, that's
I'm
what I'm saying. That's why when you tell me you Hispanic, I'm like, you was supposed to get it, and I was like, you didn't get it, so you ain't in the club.
Fuck you, nigga. You can't.
I'm gonna buy you a Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, you can't. I do have Rosetta Stone too. That's the thing.
They used to call me that because I was skinny. It just means skinny in Spanish.
What? Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not Hispanic, so I don't know that.
That's all it means. It just means skinny. That's it.
True.
So, I mean, I didn't know my name for a long time. I didn't know my real name. My name Flacco, nigga. What?
I haven't talked to you in a while. You know, it's been a couple of weeks. I've been kind of busy and shit. But
yeah,
I had a
been
question.
Up to? Before I bring in all the people, what you been up to?
Shit, just studying and working and taking care of the newborn, and that's it, really. I haven't really had time
taking
to...
Taking care of that U-porn.
What?
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, taking care of that U-porn, you know? No.
That's what it sounded like you said. You said U-porn? What'd you say?
The newborn, you know? The newborn.
That's what you said, U-porn.
Yeah, U-porn. The
newborn.
You mean, like, you know, I always hear you, so, you know, I don't. We have debated, like, once, but we didn't, you know, I didn't really, we didn't go into it fully. Sometimes, but just to, I guess I was gonna say about like the whole mix thing. You, if a black person, well, if a white person won't accept somebody because they have a black in them, if somebody is half black and half white, they gonna consider that person black, right? You don't ever hear them say a white president, right? Even though he's half black and half white,
right?
But doesn't change the truth that they have black in them.
But
so,
see, that's what I'm saying. Why is it that people accept if a European is saying, I don't want this, that's one thing. If he's saying, I don't want it, it's yours, you should always cringe.
Right.
Do you have any siblings? Do you have any siblings, Garrett?
Yes, my brother.
Don't you cringe when they tell you they don't want something and then give it to you?
I get that now.
Think about it. It's one thing for somebody not to want something. It's another thing for them to give it to you and force it on you.
Well, I wouldn't call it forcing. It's just okay. And I'll give
why
you,
would you not if they made a law which stated it?
I'm gonna give you an example here.
Wait a minute. Last I checked, if you have something called a law, it is now forced.
And what law is that?
It was a law that said one, that the one drop makes you whole. That was the law in the States. This was a white man's law. This is not just something that was out there. This was written in the books.
Yeah, is it still applicable now?
No, now we're just still saying it, kind of like the Bible.
Right, but see, all I'm trying to say is, like, you say black people accept anything. Now,
yeah, we
do. It could be this. It could be that they're just more of accepting of the truth, because it is the truth, right? Now, I don't think that.
No, it's not the truth that those people are black. I mean, listen, if people believed in the Bible like they say they do, the Bible talks down about race mixing. Ooh, nobody want to hear that.
I heard you say that last week.
Don't be that Jehovah Witness that'll sit there, or anybody who's trying to take the Bible and twist it, or, you know, have who's those people, the Bible says, you know, you could dance with snakes. People were doing it literally. Motherfuckers was dying. You know what I mean? So it depends on, like, you know, like, people take the Bible, and that's the thing. Some stuff can be misconstrued so many different ways by somebody.
You can't misconstrue that people should stick with their own kind. That has nothing to do with dance with snakes when you're saying the man's talking about symbolism. Nobody's stupid. When the law says go 55 miles an hour, you can't fuck around and say, oh, well, you know, that's up to interpretation. No, it isn't.
So
that isn't up to interpretation. You go over 55, you're breaking the law. You know this.
But an eye for an eye, you go to jail for that. Somebody kills your kid, you kill him, you go to jail.
Because it's a law. I'm just pointing out that if people are going to sit and follow the book, and the difference is when you bring up an eye for an eye, there's a guy called Jesus, and with Jesus came grace, and he said that law is no longer applicable. So you can't bring up one thing and then not bring up the other thing, because that would be like a white man coming up to you and telling you that you are 3/5 of a person.
Right, I understand
you
that.
You say, well, no, that law no longer exists.
But what I was trying to say initially is the fact that if somebody is half black and half white, and a white man refuses to acknowledge them as being white, to them they're just only black. It doesn't matter if that's what they.
You
think.
Cannot convince me that mixed people are black. It is the downfall of the black race.
But this is the thing, though. This is the thing. Is okay. I would ask you, what do you see? Most people, and it's most black people, and you know this, would be you're black because of your actions and stuff like that. That's why white people can be like a nigga and shit, because he does nigga. You can do nigga things, so you a nigga, right?
But you don't hear. But wait a minute. But you don't hear white people. But you don't hear white people saying he's doing white shit. If you're saying an action makes you black, then a non-action should make you non-black. But you don't hear white people doing it.
Proper, and I'm considered white. A lot of black
by
people.
Negroes,
right? Exactly. But we're talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Hold on. You said that there are white people who would consider that a white person doing some stupid shit and say they acting like a nigga. You just said this, but there are no white people that would see you doing some good shit and say you acting like a white person.
They won't say that, but they'll say. But you'll know, because I just met some white chick the other day, and she was like.
They'll say you're not acting like the regular black person, but they won't give you the white mantle. That's the point.
That's
you
true.
Can look at a mixed person and say you're not white, but I'm not giving you the black mantle.
Right.
You're exactly right. White people will give you the you don't act typically black, but they will not say because you don't act typically black, because we like hanging with you, because we understand your accent, you're now white. But this is what you're advocating blacks do with mixed people, because they look a little like us, because they act a little like us, because the other side won't accept them. We should. That
because
doesn't make sense.
Because what it is, it's like, okay, right.
Why does there have to be an either or? Seriously, who the fuck made this up that you gotta be either or? Because if that's the case, you wouldn't keep calling yourself Hispanic when you don't even know what flaco means.
But
you are Hispanic simply based upon the fact that your mother was born from somewhere. Not even you.
But
you're
not.
Listen, you weren't born there, and you don't speak the language. But you get to claim it.
Does that make it not? Does that make it?
Yes, it makes it not true. You have no ties to your country. You have none. You have half a tie with your mother. It's not even a full tie. It would be different if both of your parents were there. You could at least say that. You have half a tie to a country.
So I have to take the half a tie that my dad is? I don't get to take...
No, hold on. You're making my point for me. Do you hear what you just said?
But that's what you
said, so I have to take... So you're denying the side that you have the highest tie to.
I'm not denying anything because you've never...
You call yourself Hispanic, and you're not.
I don't call myself Hispanic. I call myself mixed. You have never heard me call myself...
You're not mixed with a language. Because
okay.
You don't even speak the language. Look up what Hispanic means. You cannot be half of that. Am I wrong by what I'm just saying? Look up what the word means. That's like if I just said I'm half pineapple just because my mama was eating one when I was when I was in her stomach.
You
look at me like I was crazy. You say, "Do you know what a pineapple is?" Yes, I know what a pineapple is.
Because you take it literally. You take it.
Oh, so I should not take the word "I'm half Hispanic" literally. Tell me the figurative way I should take it, please.
Because you're taking the difference between a nationality and a race, right? But my ethnic background. My mom is Puerto Rican. She was born.
Your ethnic background is not that.
She's
you
right.
are an American.
I'm an American. But see, that's the thing. Nobody ever really says I'm an American unless they're like...
White people do. White people run around all damn day saying they're American.
If you ask somebody, they'll say... Normally, like, somebody will say Caucasian or something like that.
No, white people say I'm American. They be proud of that shit. And then they got a song, and I'm proud to be an American. White people are proud to be American, and they ain't even American. Seriously, they're not. They make sure the Indians can't call themselves American. They call the Americans American Indians. Tell me I'm lying.
That's
they
true.
Call black people African American.
Hey,
they call themselves American. How does that make sense? Because they're proud to be an American. And at least I know I'm free. And we whip and beat the niggas and spicks.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
By that same thing, if my dad was Puerto Rican and born in Puerto Rico, and my mom was Puerto Rican and born in Puerto Rico, and I was born here, then what would I would just still be an American, right? But I couldn't call myself Hispanic. Still, right?
Puerto Rico was in America.
I understand that.
I mean, it's a commonwealth.
It's an American colony.
Okay,
it's an American colony, man.
Yeah, so really it's not a country. So it's like...
As a matter of fact, they call it the 51st state. Do you know they even get to vote for president?
Yeah, so really it's like Puerto Rican's not a race. It's just a, you know...
It isn't. But you can't tell people that. You can't mix no race. I can't be half fruit. You can't mix a human with a fruit. It's a simple thing, but I mean, if you want to hold on to it, then you're just proving my point. No one wants to be black, but then you want to force mixed people to claim black, but you don't want to claim black.
I claim it as what my pops is, and I'm half of it. You know,
look, you claimed a color with a place. You said black as a color, as if your father has no place of origin.
No, because that's just normally. But see, it's one of those things that people just use by habit, and there's nothing wrong with it.
But I'm trying to break habit. By that logic, women could just sit around and say, "I just do something by habit," and we just keep doing it. How can you ever make a change? You see what you said? You talked about how you paint women into a corner because you try to get them to admit the truth. I'm
right.
painting you into a corner, and you're responding like a woman by saying, "Well, it's just a habit." Not that I want to change the habit now that I know the habit's wrong. You're saying I want to hold on to the habit because I just like the habit.
No, the habit, no, it's just the habit of calling black, not African, that's not a destructive habit. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that...
Well, how is them wearing weave destructive? Who does it destroy?
Themselves. If they want to destroy themselves, and if they want to lose their own... part of themselves, and that's fine.
Just like you calling yourself Hispanic, you're losing part of yourself.
If I didn't call myself Hispanic,
then they would say the same thing. It's not. My regular hair is underneath this hair. I'm not losing myself.
How am I losing myself by calling
because you don't know anything about the country you keep claiming. An Italian would at least go back and learn Italian if he's going to keep touting that he's Italian. Seriously, hold on. If you're going to keep saying it, you don't even go back and try to learn the language you're saying that you and your people speak. That is wrong.
No, obviously, no, because I have Rosetta Stone, so I made an effort to do it, obviously, but I'm busy with school. It's very, 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 very hard. It's very hard. I don't have that amount of
time. You created a baby, but you couldn't learn a language.
Nigga, it's easier. Shut the hell up. You know that's way easier to create a baby than it is to learn a language.
No, it ain't, because you had to wait till you were 14 before you could even start spitting the right seeds. And you didn't get no pussy till you were 16 or 17. So you had all that time when you was coming into the knowledge of your, especially if your mama speak the language.
Yeah.
My brother speak fluent Spanish because he grew up with my daddy.
Yep, but my mom, she takes full responsibility and full accountability for that because she was a single parent, so it was very hard for her, like, she had to work. So
it was very hard for her to speak her language.
No, it wasn't very hard. It just got easier, you know what I mean? It was just easy. When, like,
my grandma won't speak English at all. She said, fuck y'all.
Yeah, my grandparents don't speak any English at all.
So then, wait a minute. You should be able to converse with them then, by logic.
I used to when I was younger. That's the thing. I used to speak it a little bit or be able to understand it. My girlfriend, she's, you know, her mom is Filipino. She's half Filipino. Her dad is Mexican. Her mom speaks, English, okay, because she's been here for a while. Still broken, but she cannot speak it, but she can understand everything you say. She just can't speak it. It's just one of those things. So I used to be able to speak. I used to be able to speak it and understand it. And I had intentions to try to learn, but I just didn't. You know what I mean? I have it, and then I would be on.
All I'm saying, see, what I'm saying is you're doing the same thing though. You're justifying something. One, if you're saying,
I'm not justifying.
Listen to what I'm saying, and then we'll go. Listen to what I'm saying though. You say you're half of something. I'm going to give you that you're half of that. You're half black and you're half Puerto Rican. You're mixing a color with a place, and not even a place outside of the United States. You're mixing a color, an American color one, with another American language speaking. You weren't born there, but you're still saying half. How can you be half of something when you weren't even born there? That would lower the percentage. It's the same thing I say about Barack Obama. For as much as he was half black, half white, because he was raised around all white people, that would raise his percentage of whiteness.
According to who? You only.
Because
if you were to ask other people,
wait. There's a reason why Tom Cruise was able to be the last samurai, because when he went over to Japan and they was up there and his behavior was Japanese. He got integrated into the culture. In every other faction of life, if you are integrated into a culture, you are losing the culture you just left by logic. Like, you just claim that the reason you no longer know how to speak Spanish is because time went by and you weren't speaking it. Did you not say that?
Yes.
So if what I just said isn't true, how can you just actually live the life of what I just spoke of, which is you take somebody out of an environment, they become the environment you put them in?
Okay, so would I have been more Hispanic back then? You know what I mean? Because
yeah, actually, that's what I was saying. Because the Hispanic, Hispania is a place, first off, that is the people from there came and migrated to these other places, and that's why they use the Hispania, which is just Spain. It's actually just Spain. And they're the descendants of Spaniards.
So if I learned more
Hispanic
Spanish, I would be more Hispanic in your eyes.
Yes.
So if I just learned a new word, right?
But how is that more, wait a minute. How is that more ridiculous than you saying you're half black, half Hispanic? How is that more ridiculous when you're saying you're half of a color and half of a language?
Because I'm.
You laughed at what I just said, which was you'd be more Hispanic if you actually spoke the language, if you actually knew the culture.
Because I'm not basing it. I am basing it off of. I am the byproduct of what my mom is and what my dad is, and I am the byproduct of that. So I gained 50% from my mom and 50% from my dad, and that's who I am.
But you're saying your dad was just black. He didn't have a place of origin. If you heard me say that, if you can laugh at my statement, you would laugh at that. That your dad just a damn color.
Well, I asked my grandmother where her grandmother was from, but she didn't know. But they're from Mississippi. So that's where that came from, and I guess a lot of people from Mississippi.
Why haven't you said I'm half Chicago and half Puerto Rican? Seriously, by logic, what that would be 100% correct if you're saying one and the other. Or half American, half Puerto, I don't know. But you give your father no place of origin. That's,
saying somebody's black doesn't strip them of them as a human. You're making it seem like this.
No,
I said you're black.
See, now you're doing like women again. You're adding shit I didn't say. What did I say? Strip them of a human. I said a place of origin.
You're not stripping them of a place of origin.
I said a place of origin. Did I not?
You're not stripping of something. That's not stripping them of it. You're just not adding it in.
Wow.
That's not
so. A person with a weave is not stripping themselves of their identity. They're just adding it in.
That's a terrible example. Please.
How is that a terrible example, sir? You're saying your father has no place of origin.
I never
said
he
does. Saying your father originated out of thin air, but your mother has a birthplace.
That my grandmother's family is from Mississippi. They're from America.
Where was your father born?
Chicago.
So you're half Chicagoan, half Puerto Rican.
American. African American. So half. So would that be better if I said half African American?
Why do you gotta call yourself an African American? By that logic, your father's father was from Africa.
Hey, black.
Do you see how you're not giving? You see what you're doing? At least admit that what you're doing.
Being like over analytical of.
No, you're refusing to let go of something. The same what those women are doing with their weed.
Okay, what?
Refusing
what
to let it go.
How the fuck would I let you strip me of like what my parents are?
And you didn't mind stripping your daddy of his place of origin. He was just black. Your daddy just black. That nigga black. What's your daddy? Black. What's your mama? Puerto Rican.
That you, okay? You act like that is how is that disrespect?
How's that what?
On race.
Did I? Hey, have I used the words of disrespect or see how he add words in?
I'm asking. Okay. How
I just said your daddy is just black. He has no place of origin, but your mother does. How? Why are you adding words I never said? Because that's what you keep doing. You're doing what women do. You're doing exactly what women do to get out of an argument. You add shit I never said because you can't answer the stuff I actually said.
I am answering everything you said. You know that. Come on.
You can't answer it. All I said was you took your dad's place of origin away. You took it away. You gave your mother a place of origin. Yeah, you knew where your father was born, just like you knew where your mother was born.
Not adding isn't taken away. There's a difference.
What?
You understand that, right? Not adding something is not taking it away.
You didn't add it. That's actually what it is. If you're talking about one person, look, if I was having a wealth argument, if I was talking about one guy and said, this guy makes this much money, and I refuse to talk about the next person's amount of money, any person with common sense would say that's not a fair argument you just made because you're not acknowledging the other person's amount of money. You're acknowledging one person's place of birth, and you're not acknowledging the other person's place of birth. By logic, that is not fair.
And then I